Welcome to episode 64 of The Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, hordes, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Iron Agenda, the podcast that frenzies so much easier. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Tim.
I'm Jason.
I'm Dave at recording.
I still haven't listened to last week's episode, but apparently it blew.
Yeah, we apologize for the absolutely horrible audio quality. We blame Dave, of course, because he controls all of this.
He took it right out of I was going to say, I blame Dave.
But Dave apologizes and promises everyone a cookie if you come shake his hand the next week.
Really?
Yep.
What kind of cookie?
Promised. Icing. Top. The ones, the really soft ones. From
Maybe a chocolate cake cookie.
Chocolate cake cookie. Isn't that just a cake?
Yes.
There you go. We're each getting cakes if you shake his hand.
I ate a brownie a few weeks ago, but it had like the texture of a cake, like the sponginess, and it was really disappointing.
Yeah, when you expect one thing, nothing's worse than like going to take a drink of. Nothing's worse than going to take a drink of something, and it's not what you thought it was.
So many times, I get a Dr. Pepper from a restaurant, like a takeout or something, and I'll walk away from the restaurant, drive away, and I take a drink, and it's always Diet Coke.
Yes,
it pisses me off. I guess it's the D that throws them off.
No, when you think it's
that way after reading,
because aspartame gives me headaches. So I take a drink. Not only do I know that I might get a headache, I ruined like my drink.
Gosh, Diet Coke, when they give you Coke or Diet Coke instead of Coke, it's like the worst thing in the entire world of all time. I know Dave hates diet products.
I don't like black sodas.
Whoa.
I drink
black soda.
I drink Sprite and Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
So I go to the two extremes. But my pet peeve is not when you order one and they give you the other, but when you order one and they give you seltzer water.
Yeah, because you don't even know until you drink it.
Because like, this looks like a very good Sprite.
But you know, they ought to know. They ought to know because whenever they put the thing in the machine, it should be bubbling over like Old Faithful.
Well, Old Faithful. You would also hear
the
machine when the.
Do you really think the guys are making $2 an hour back behind the grill at McDonald's? Know what?
Yes, I do.
Well, they should. Like, I mean, they're nuts.
They're professionals.
Yes.
That's what they do.
They should.
They do. They probably, they're it's called fast food. It's quick. They do it. They don't probably don't even look at it. Probably grabbing for lids and straws.
Well, a lot of those things are automated where they put it down, they hit a button, and they can walk away and do other things, you know, to make up time as they can.
So we're gonna have robots making McDonald's someday.
Probably.
They already are. Have you ever looked back there? They have like little shelves that you put the burgers in and then they cook and then you pull it out and it's already cooked. They didn't even like, you know, put on a grill or anything.
Oh, they got it automated. They know exactly how long it has to be in there. It's all it's a little scary, actually.
It's like Back to the Future.
Yeah. Mom, you sure do know how to hydrate a pizza.
No, I was going to say where he makes the egg hydrate? In the beginning, remember? He makes a breakfast in the very beginning of the first one.
Oh, yeah. His little Rube Goldberg machine. He does it in Back to the Future 3 as well.
Oh, he does? Okay, there you go.
What are you saying, Dave?
So you know what else we could hard boil or hydrate?
What's that?
Mark 2.
Ooh.
Let's hard boil, hydrate that guy.
Dude, Tuesday. Pretty big day for the world.
Huge.
Huge day. I call it D-Day.
People were complaining.
I call it H-Day because it was hordes.
Okay.
People expected it to come out like on the second, as soon as noon central time hit. And like an hour later, hour and a half later, it wasn't up. It was like the world had ended.
Oh, we were having
people were griping. They were complaining, like really being mad at PP for not being on the ball.
I kind of expected it. It just, you know, I expected as soon as the site was open that it was going to crash.
How could you not?
And it did.
We were all sitting in a chat room. Dave and I were in a chat room with some people on GChat, and we were talking.
Who came through with the files?
Dave did. Dave did. He was the one to get through.
Can't see us, I am raising the roof at the moment.
I just stopped trying because I knew everyone was. I was like, if I continue to try, there's a low chance that I'll get it, and I may be hampering someone
else. You're making it more difficult for everybody else.
That's why I said all of us should stop, and one person who has the best connection should go through. We sat. It was like at least 1:15 before we got him, right? It was
probably
took about an hour and 15 minutes to get. So, but you know, what can you do?
If my boss is listening, I was working diligently that entire time.
But it was, it was the event itself was very, everyone was on there. Everyone was on the forums. I kept checking the forums. Everyone's like, please host. Like, and then this one guy put it on like mega upload or something. And then you had to be a premium member to get it. And it was hilarious.
I really wanted to, fake a link to, Rickroll.
Oh my God. You would have owned so many people. They would got Rickrolled so hard
back in 2008.
Yeah, but that would have been really funny still. I'm sorry.
Hey, just because I'm behind in the memes doesn't mean they're not still funny.
There's also a Ricky Martin role.
Oh, no, that's a better Rick
role. Or no, I should have Bel-Aired people.
Like, oh, live in La Vida Loca.
That's right.
All right.
But what did we get?
Well, we got some documents.
Two documents.
That apparently needed to be patched already.
Yep. Not really unexpected, I guess.
No.
Whoops.
They had a whole bunch of stuff missing, and I was kind of
pretty important.
So it was very important. I was very surprised. I thought it was very unprofessional of them, and I can't imagine. Like, you'd think they would have compared the, like, gone page for page maybe with the old rule book and realized, oh gosh, there's this entire section missing. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I've never put a big book like that together.
I think it's a victim of being too close to the rules.
Could be.
I mean, they know how everything works, and they just kind of forgot it.
I can see that as a reason, but not an excuse, I think. But anyway, we have everything. Or not everything. We have the rules now. We have cards and some core rules, so let's get into it.
We don't have cards. That's what makes playing this game suck.
Well, we have what would go on the cards. But I have it all printed out and put in little plastic sheets.
There you go. He can actually mark on them.
Yeah, it's actually pretty nice to put them in those big, you know, file things and...
My only problem with that is running two of the same model.
I had to go and hand write in some Argus fields in the Argus box, but I only have to do it once.
I've been using my cards because a lot of the Scorn stuff, like the Beast, for the most part, their damage didn't change a whole lot, so I could still use the cards.
Same with the Trolls. The Slag was the only one that I think changed. And even then, I think it has the same number of boxes, just the boxes are different shifted. Places. Because I'm pretty sure they kept his spirit just like the other ones, his mind. But originally, I'm pretty sure he only had like three or four mind, which is kind of funny. But
because he's a big lug?
He's a big lug. But before we get into the models, let's talk about the core rules that changed. They're a little more important, I think.
I think so.
The model's changing.
My stuff sucks now. I'm quitting this game.
Yay.
Dave quit.
Well, that must have been loud if somebody had headphones on.
That's why I'm taking the headphones off for part of that gag.
Good job. Okay, so quite a few things changed. Maybe a little bit, but it still has profound effects on the game. How about Threshold? Notice anything?
Generally lower.
A lot lower.
Generally lower. I think it's a good change. I thought leaving Fury on Beast was just, you know, kind of a joke in the end. I mean, on lights, you need about about a 9 to bust. That's pretty high. And, I mean, it's not like a command check because you can still kind of direct it in Mark 1. And in Mark 2, you can as well. Granted, it's not effective for other reasons that we'll get into. But, They played this whole like resource versus risk management kind of thing, and it wasn't a risk. And now we have a risk, and I think it's a good thing.
I hate that. Oh, Hordes is risk management, and War Machine's resource management, and I've never bought that argument. I've said many times how you can just call each game the reverse just by switching how you look at them. And
absolutely,
I hate that. I hate that.
It's a perception thing.
Would you not agree that, especially now, there's a much larger risk in Hordes than there is in War Machine?
No, it's just you have to manage your resources more closely.
But do you?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if you want to only output as
there is theory. Always risk involved in resource management, like which is why that definition fails to make that to define the two games as separate.
I agree with you, but would you not agree that when you're running, like, for example, let's give Madrak as an example, 5, if you want to be, as you say, so resourceful, and we can't take Fury off Beast, so you can pretty much only push your Beast 5.
I didn't say resourceful. I said resource management. You have a limited resource, being the Beast's Fury and your Fury, that you must manage effectively.
Yes.
And there is risk involved. And I'm not saying that that's a false statement about Hordes. I'm just saying that calling Hordes risk management and War Machine resource management doesn't adequately differentiate them at all.
I agree, but I just can't imagine disagreeing with the fact that there's a much larger risk in running Beasts than there are in Jacks, because the Jacks aren't going to attack your own things.
No, but if you you have to know exactly how the turn is going to go up front in your focus allocation phase, or you're not going to be able to effectively complete your goal for the turn. But you are risking up front that the dice are going to let you go through with your plan.
True, but in Mark II, there's a lot less intangible factors. For example, Bane Knight shifting, out of turn movement kind of shenanigans. So now if you got a Jack and you're sending it against a Jack and you give it 3 focus and you kill it, and you roll really well in the charge and you hit on the second one, you kill him, you're not going to be that mad that you gave it 3, because you gave it 3 to complete its job. Like, it can't, in Mark II, it's not going to be that difficult.
Maybe it did complete its job, but you still failed in your risk, more or less, because you did
Well, you didn't fail anything. You had to take that into account, that was a risk that you knew up front. So, you didn't fail anything.
So, well,
it was worth 3 focus to kill the Jack, no matter what happened. So, and yes, if you didn't kill the Jack, that'd be a risk of the day.
Now, it certainly isn't as
efficient as it could have been. That's my point.
But that's part of the risk.
Yeah, but I mean,
but that's all I was.
What are we arguing about? I don't understand.
Talking about risk and reward.
I hate those labels.
He hates the labels, but there's certainly a larger risk now, and I think you can't disagree with that. With by leaving Fury on your beast.
Okay.
Next ties into the frenzy change.
I think
which
we should
now
go over all the changes on the beast and warlocks because I kind of at once before we comment on because I think
they kind of play off each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, what's the change in frenzy?
Frenzying now is a single attack.
Is it still fully boosted?
It is fully boosted, depending on, you know, your aspects. Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, the choice of models is really what it was in Mark I as to who you choose to frenzy on or charge or whatever. That hasn't changed, correct? I remember it being similar. I didn't go
It's similar. I don't know if it's identical or not, but it's pretty close.
No, yeah. It is,
but it's not as simple as just the nearest guy. I mean, there's a little bit more to it than that.
So we got weaker frenzy so far.
Mm-hmm.
The threshold's lowered.
Yep.
Matt and Rat, we didn't get the global War Machine buff.
There were every so often there was one, but yeah, it certainly isn't global.
And reaving is a big deal now. You can only reave things that were killed by enemy attacks.
And I imagine that might be how it ends up, but they really need to reword that rule because the only time enemy attacks is mentioned is in the first sentence, which isn't even a rule. The first sentence is like a fluffy kind of thing because it says that they capture the essence from enemy attacks being destroying them.
I agree.
So they need to rewrite the rule to make that absolutely clear because right now it is not. Although that's probably what they're getting at.
I think that some of that needs to change because I think it's pretty ridiculous. But
I think you need to go for that.
Let's go ahead and talk about what that encompasses. I mean, that's when you transfer to your beast after getting hit and it dies, technically that's you killing it. So it's not an attack. So you can't reave that.
Right.
Fire or corrosion.
Collateral damage.
That's another one. Collateral damage.
Feats.
And feats, which I find very interesting. Or actions.
I think collateral damage. I have to double check because
I'm pretty sure
Vilmon was immune
damage,
to collateral damage because he was immune to attacks.
I'm sorry, say that again. I didn't catch it.
Vilmon was immune to collateral damage because he was immune to attacks
that's
because they
not
were the result of attacks.
Mark II collateral damage is not.
It's
specified.
Okay.
And also, I think it's set in there that
it is.
And also, feats and actions, as you said, actions being big. Forsaken, for example, that's an action. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of kill them and you can't do anything about
it. Even things as silly as like pushing a beast into a caustic mist or something to take a single point of damage.
Yep. That's it.
Weird little things like that. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but
it would be one thing if honestly, I mean, if they wanted to prevent popcorning and say if you transfer to a beast that you know you can't reave, that would be one thing. I think that instead of saying what they can't do, it's pretty much saying the way they can do. Like they can only die from being attacked, so everything else is out the window.
See, now I liked popcorning. I would be okay if they said you can't popcorn lesser warbeast specifically. If they added that to the lesser warbeast rule, so Legion couldn't abuse it, mm-hmm. but it became a kind of a chess game of damage placement on the part of the Horde's player.
Lord, you're eliminating your opponent's models. Sure, you're doing it by wailing on an important model in that army, but if I can destroy your Dire Troll here and an Impaler here by killing your Warlock or hitting on your Warlock, oh well.
Yeah, especially because usually they have lower armor than the Warbeasts.
Yeah, right.
Another thing, too, that I found was, I already thought focus for armor was better. And now, in my opinion, you can't deny it. Because you can only keep two. Like, let's say I keep two on me. There's no way, unless you're killing my beasts, which, you know, yes, you can put them in harm's way to, like, try to protect your warlock. So you could be like, oh, well, you're going to have to kill him, which means I'm going to get it. But then, you know, you're kind of staring down an alley that's, you know, it's kind of wishy-washy. And you just can't depend on it. And focus for armor is just, in my opinion, just going to be way more invaluable than being able to transfer.
I think in general that's going to be true, especially since in a lot of cases you may not even need to give your Jax focus with the higher rats and so on, and even higher POW weapons in a lot of cases. You can bank on that. You can just hold it.
Bank it. Ship it.
Here's my big complaint so far with Mark II after seeing it a few times is I understand that beasts were a lot more efficient and could do more wrecking than Jax could simply by the fact of the double boost and some of the other aspects of them. I'm not against them toning beasts back a bit. I think they went way overboard. I think that they hit them in too many areas. I think that a few of the changes that were currently made and like reverting some of the other ones would be okay, would be a good balance. But as it is now, I'm not particularly happy with it.
Let's talk about the Titan in the room here.
The elephant?
No, the Titan.
No, I mean the Scornel. Oh, never mind.
I'd rather talk about the Agonizer.
Well, let's talk about the Agonizer in the room.
Okay.
When you, the beasts were given the ability to shake off, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. you have to pass the frenzy, you have to pass your frenzy check after that. So if you're going to shake off, you automatically have to pass a threshold check. And there are some beasts where you're going to frenzy. Like a Shredder, if you want to stand him up for some reason, you got frenzy on average roll, on a expected value of 7
Thank you.
On two dice. That's, you know, it's gonna, he's gonna frenzy. Or, you know, even then, you know, like the Mauler is threshold 9 or the Bronzeback's threshold 8, I believe.
There are a lot of 8s.
And he's looking at, he's looking at an 8 up on your heavy Warbeast that you paid 10 points for to frenzy.
40 some odd percent chance.
I'm a big fan of the Bronzeback having a low threshold because I think it's very fluffy. I always like that about the Bronzeback. But the fact that, you know, you have to stand him up, or to be able to stand him up, you have to put that kind of risk involved into him, I don't buy it.
Yeah, that does. I mean, it's just, there, Jacks do too many things better now, in my opinion. I think that's the problem. I mean, yeah, there are double boosts and hordes. On the other hand, you know, a lot of their powers on average aren't quite as high.
Or lower.
Yeah. And, you know, the Warlocks don't have arc nodes to be slinging their spells out. Well, a couple of them do now.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah.
I have another quick Mark II change just because I don't want to forget it.
Okay.
On the arc nodes thing. One thing that they did with Mark II was they kind of consolidated spells. Spells that were similar were kind of moved around. That really made me upset in one particular case. I know I don't want to go into Miles, but I just want to remember it and so I can see if there's anything else out there like that. But Grim lost Lock the Target and gained Mark for Death. And in War Machine, Mark for Death being a range 8 spell is fine because people like Eden Negri who have it have arc nodes to be doing stuff like that. But Lock the Target was range 10, and even sometimes that wasn't enough. And now that he has a range 8 spell, it makes him even less effective. I just wanted to go ahead and state that out there because I didn't know if there was any other changes that you guys got. A War Machine spell that maybe your range was shorter because of it. I can't really think of many, but that's one in particular. Plus the spell's useless because he can't even see stealth models. So how do you knock off the stealth without being in stealth range anyways? But anyways, sorry to interject with that. I just didn't want to forget it and I knew I would.
Epic Thagrash guy, what's his new spell's name?
Scourge.
Manifest Destiny.
There you go. Manifest Destiny, which is, I wonder if Vlad's changing.
No, I don't know. What do you mean, why is Vlad changing?
From Signs of Importance to Manifest Destiny.
I don't think he is.
Does it specify just battle group?
Him and his battle
group. But they already fixed the cards.
Yeah, the cards are probably
already at the permanent.
Maybe it was changed a while ago. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility because it was changed from Everblight specific so it could be used in a more broader sense.
It's true, but Manifest Destiny, if I remember correctly from history, I think it's really hilarious they call it Manifest Destiny. Yeah.
Here's what's kind of funny about Legion is we have Manifest Destiny and we have Insight, which basically do the same thing in just slightly different ways.
Yes and no.
Insight, you got to be in our control area. Right?
With Insight, the target has to be in our control radius, which is 2 inches bigger than Thagrash's.
But I'd rather have +2
But
plus
you
two
don't then. Get the extra width of Thagrash's base. And it's a fixed +2, whereas Manifest Destiny is the beast has to be in your range and you
get an initial backdrop below.
Which is an average of roughly +2.
I like Insight's bonus better, but then again, also, you are also not rolling Snake Eyes as much.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a good mat, that's a good thing. But back to the frenzying, how do we feel on the whole? I mean, it sounds like we're pretty upset about this.
You know what? I would be cool if they got all their attacks, but they weren't boosted. Or if they were only boosted in one aspect, like maybe boosted to hit, not boosted damage. I think that a beast going crazy should use all of its attacks. I mean, when do you ever activate a beast and not select its attacks? Why would the beast get mad enough to only attack once?
Yeah, to me it doesn't make sense.
It's like the Carnivian forgets he has claws. By the way, he doesn't have lockjaw anymore. Yay. So I don't – I mean, I would understand the need to tone it back. And I think that toning it back is fine. But I think the way they did it is kind of not fluffy.
That doesn't bother me as much as the whole reaving thing.
Yeah,
that bothers me more.
Sure, that
I would be okay with everything else.
Like if my beast
reaving is just a little
in the fluff perspective. If the beast builds up a certain amount of rage and my warcast is feeding off that rage, I mean, does it matter how it dies? Like if it got hit in the head and died with a rock that fell off a cliff, like
well, if your friend hugs it to death, it gets calm before death. And therefore,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, and if like Dave's killing my friends and I'm taking their powers.
Wait a second. But yeah, I mean, what it comes down to is
sounds like an episode of Heroes.
Like I said,
it does.
People didn't like popcorn, especially because of Shredders. Changed a lesser rule to include a restriction on reaming so that you can't popcorn Shredders and Harriers.
I don't even care about that. Who gives a shit?
Well, people who hate the Legion are that's one of their biggest.
Shredders have 13 damage boxes. They're only armor 12 now. Go ahead and just pound the crap out of the Warcaster. They're probably going to take some damage back. I've killed multiple casters when they leave their Shredder popcorn, and I'm like, oh, take, you know, you harm the Shredder a little bit, and mm-hmm. then you're like, take this. And they have to take it. And then it's on
I'm
regular Horlock speed chart, so they take D6 anyways.
I'm not saying you can't get rid of it. I'm just saying that if it's a big problem with the lessers, you could restrict them specifically from popcorn. And doing that, it leaves all the rest of the fury management things back.
I think, like Tim, the reaving bothers me a lot more. And actually, the only thing that really bothers me about the frenzing is in combination with shaking, where it's so much more likely to happen. Right. That's the only thing that really bothers me. Although I could easily see just giving it all of its attacks, even non-boosted, or maybe somehow integrate whatever fury is on it with how many boosts it might get. Like, you take fury off, and it sort of calms itself down by going crazy.
And here's the thing.
Well, here... I want to count off, I mean, how many things did they change to Beast? No, I consider not raising their Matt and Rat a change. Because it's something they could have easily done because of the analog and Warjack.
Well, I mean, it was a change. It was just not global.
Right.
So there was some
sort of change. So the Matt Rat's not are high. The threshold is lower. Frenzying, you can frenzy if you you frenzy badly. And you can, if you get up, you can frenzy. If you shake off, you can frenzy. What was the other one?
Reaving.
Reaving is not. That's five almost nerfs to War Beasts.
And Reaving is almost four in itself.
How
many different ways.
Do any of you guys actually feel that Beasts were that much better than Warjacks that they warranted that big of a hit?
No. That's the thing. Like, no. Hordes was not better than War Machine. And to say that it was pretty insane.
Well, I
let's not get into that debate. That's
I'm just saying, if you want to take data, as much appropriate data as we could.
Let's put it this way. And I think that, except with the exception of Masters and stuff like that, the upfront offense that Hordes could put out in Mark I gave it an advantage over War Machine against certain opponents. Just because it gave them, if the War Machine player didn't know how to mitigate it, they could get in trouble. And that actually was, the Hordes player didn't have the same restriction against War Machine players.
And that's why I think that raising the Mats, the Rats, and the Pows on a lot of the War Machine stuff, you know, giving them the full survivability of Jax, decreasing the penalties of attacks, which, by the way, aren't always that bad. Like, there are some Jax that can hit your beasts and still deal good damage to them on one die. Like, it's pretty ridiculous. Also, you know, and then just the way that they overall work now, comparatively, I thought that lowering their threshold was a big deal for the beasts. I think that hurts them, and that's a good hurt. I'm not mad about that hurt. But the other ones,
I would say quite a few games of Hordes I've played. I played most of the game with like three extra fury on the table, maybe a little bit more. And my beast, I wouldn't be forcing all my beasts every turn. And normally frenzies were very rare.
Yeah.
And
I don't mind.
I had shepherds anyway.
Not all of us have shepherds.
Well, you all suck. Pick a better faction.
But I'm not complaining because, you know, my faction, technically, the trolls, had generally the highest thresholds. So it wasn't really that big of a deal. Like, our lowest... Yeah, it was always a factor of... It was always six off. Every beast has six off their fury. And now I think it's about five.
Would you guys see any specific changes to these, I guess, five changes? If you were going to change the changes, what do you think is appropriate for a balance between War Machine and Hordes?
I think it's the reaving. I think it all comes down to that.
You think the other four are...
I think the other four are acceptable, and if you change the reaving, so... I don't see how I can't get the... It's still an enemy attack, whether I'm transferring the damage or not to a beast. Why can't I reave? And you can't kill your own beast now? That's not a viable tactic anymore?
You can't reave from them in that case.
That's what I'm saying. It's not... I mean, you're even taking tactics out of the game.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't make sense. Like, well, not just tactics, but like, why does it matter if I kill it or you kill it? It's dead. Like, isn't the act still happening? Like, isn't it still dying?
Well, how about... they made those changes to things like soul tokens.
Yeah, but soul tokens... Okay, soul tokens, maybe there's something about the souls that
I think you can tie that into the problem with infantry being so overpowered in Mark
that's one. The reason they gave though was that they wanted the tabletop to play out more fluffy like the story, and you didn't see the higher claimer killing his own troops.
Yeah, but so, at the same time, for example, the opener for Hordes, I mean, Madrak transfers damage to a Mauler, which puts him down, and I mean, Madrak's team still have some juice in him. He took it back. They always talk about them getting damage and him pulling stuff in. I mean,
I can understand them wanting to make the game play more fluff like, but I think that's a dangerous area to start to trade into. That's kind of
the point I'm getting at. Yeah. Is that
I've never killed my own beast before.
Not even to like do the whole bone grinder, give me a million armor or a million strength and go kill.
I did that once.
Shut up.
It didn't work out for me though. Because I could roll a 7 on 3 dice.
Like, so now I don't see it too. I mean, yeah, bronze back, that's or those kind of things, that's cool. But now, especially, I mean, there's Feralgeist can't get into your friendly beasts, so there's a nice change that, you know, killing your beasts isn't going to matter. You couldn't get the fury anyways from the Feralgeist. I think
Reaving's not enough, honestly. I missed the Reaving changes the first time through because it wasn't in the document, you know, so we...
So of course we missed it.
Well, no, I assumed it was as standard.
Yeah, there's no reason to think differently.
Right. And I still thought the beast had got hit a little bit too hard.
Absolutely. Well, and then also, that's the thing that's really weird is that we didn't hear that, and we didn't hear about the shake off as well. And to me, if you shake off after the maintenance or after the threshold checks, you are still putting your beast at a disadvantage and neutering their ability to A, use more attacks or boosts, and B, you're risking next turn.
Mm-hmm. When do Warjacks shake off?
They shake off in the control phase.
When you allocate focus?
It's at some point at the end of the allocation. Yeah.
Okay. To me, I think allocating focus and checking for thresholds, to me, those are similar in the fact that it's setting the balance for the turn. Like, oh, this is the time where my Warjacks get to have their powers, and this is the time where the War Beasts are, you know, ready to start their turn. And then if they're shaking off after that, while they're different, to me it just seems like this is how the War Beast is going to be for the turn. This is how the Warjack is going to be for the turn. You know, if it has focus, if it did frenzy, I think those are similar in my mind.
I can't remember. I may have glanced over it. If a beast is knocked down, if it's knocked down and frenzies, does it then stand up and attack whoever's around it, or does it get to stand up for free or something like that?
No, it stands up and then attacks whoever's around it. Okay. If it's not next to anyone,
so it's like Mark 1, right?
Yes.
So which makes, to me, it makes the whole shaking and then frenzying even more of a slap in the face, because not only am I putting more fear in my beast, his frenzy is now more effective because he can then walk to one of my models and kill my own guys.
I want to talk real quick about an argument that people give, which I actually originally gave, and now I'm kind of going back on my word. People said, well, you couldn't shake off in Mark 1. And I was like, you know what? That makes a good point. You know, this is just the bonus. And yeah, you have to pass a check to be able to do it, but you can do it in Mark 1, right? But now the fact that Jax can do it, every time I think about it, I'm like, wow. I was thinking about my Cawdor, the army, the other day, and I was like, who cares? Like,
you cannot look at this game and compare it to what Mark 1 was and expect that to rationalize a balance.
Yeah, you have to compare it to Mark 2. You have
to compare it to the rest of Mark 2.
So. And War Machine is in Mark 2, and it's the same reason I don't like the Kodiak's new chain attack. A lot of people are loving it. I think Grab and Smash sucks for the Kodiak. It doesn't put out enough damage, and when you throw it away, in my opinion, I'm going to stand it up and charge Kodiak and kill it. Like, that's what's going to happen. And most Jacks can, with 2 focus, do that, or at least cripple the Kodiak and put him in a position where he can't do Grab and Smash again. I mean, POW 16s don't hurt Jax very heavies that bad. So that's why I always liked his old one. But that's neither here nor there. What it comes down to is, you know, there's no penalty with Jax. I think you were the one that was saying, like, you know, 100% effective.
Yeah, I had read that on the forum. Somebody was saying, you know, Jax and Beast, 100% of the time, if a Jack shakes off 100% of the time, it's effective because it's not going to frenzy, and you can stand up, do whatever you want.
Right.
If you don't, then you can at least stand up and get 100% of his activation. You know, you might have to move.
50% of his activation.
Well, yeah. But a beast, if it shakes off, or if it doesn't, if the beast doesn't have any fury on it, then it gets 100% of its activation if you're able to leech it all off. If you leave something on there, then it has, you know, at least a 44% or about 40-some-odd% chance of going crazy. So the Jacks, you never have there is no risk there. I guess going back to the whole risk thing, there's no risk with the Jack. You always get to do something with it. Whereas with the Beast, you may not be able to. which just seems a little.
You know, I'd be happy if the Warlock had to spend a Fury Point to stand its beast up.
That's what I was going to suggest. Just spend it off of the Warlock.
I say no, that's bullshit.
Well, actually, no, that's a good point. That actually makes the beast better because then, oh, look, then my Carnivine gets all four Fury to kill you with.
Wait, say it again.
I stand a Carnivine up with one Fury off my Warlock, while the Carnivine still has four boosts to go at you with.
And also,
it's like the Ironclad that stands up right, only has right. two more to actually
that's
try
the
and kill.
Opposite of. Because the only thing a Warlock actually, as far as connection is concerned, is you can cast their Animus. You can force them to do things, but it's on their own will that you're pushing them harder, and you can heal them. That's really the only connection. A Warcaster has a much more direct connect. I mean, it's magic. It's like pure magic. I control you. I mean, they talk about how sometimes like the Warcaster sees through the Jack's eyes and stuff like that. Like it's a very...
Yeah, but in the Fluffer Hordes, which we really shouldn't get into because this is not too, rules, they? Is they could like see through the beasts. So.
Well, fine. What I'm saying is I don't think that the Warcaster should be doing it. Maybe well, I say well, that because when my they were, average Fury when they were walking, like 5.5.
When they were walking through the Rulic mines trying to get Thagrash to safety because he's a badass and he needs help... they were all of the Nis were looking through the eyes of the Legion beasts to see.
You're right.
Because they couldn't see themselves.
Well, what would be the big deal of leeching threshold checks, then forcing for
I don't think that would be a problem at all.
Along I assumed that's how it would happen.
And here's the thing too. You're neutering your effectiveness for the turn.
Yeah.
If Dave says he's playing it safe and he's got a 7 Fury Warlock and you got to shake off two beasts, now you've only got, if you want to play it safe, you got 5 Fury to blow that turn.
Yeah, and instead of War Machine handles that right then and there. Hordes waits a turn to handle it.
Exactly.
So, I mean.
And I think that that's great. I mean, personally, I mean, I run my beasts out all the time just because I like getting a lot out of them. And if they frenzy, they frenzy. But, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say that I think that's still a risk. For the Hordes player. I know you hate the word risk, Dave, but still risk.
I don't hate the word risk. I hate the separation of risk and resource management.
It's still a risk. And it's going to happen next turn. I don't see why it can't be like that.
And you're still taking a percentage off of the beast's effectiveness.
The very first time I saw someone shake off, they frenzied. And to me, that's going to be a really bad... that's going to put a hard stigma. It's going to really
it makes knockdown, Kriass and Sorshin, like, even better against Hordes.
It almost reverts them to a Mark 1 type.
Maybe even better. Maybe even better than Mark 1. Because if Kriass, you know, if you knock down a Jack and there's someone in your melee range attacking you and they don't kill you, you stand up, you can still kill them. Or maybe you're a ranged Jack, you just stand up and you shoot. But now, it could be even better. Because not only can you not activate them, they may A, attack your own thing, and B, your strength, which we've been talking about is now weaker with transferring, you can't even do. So, I don't buy it. I don't buy it, Privateer.
Yeah, we kind of been complaining about this quite a bit, but I mean, does anybody really upset with the changes to Mark II? I mean, other than this.
Oh, other than this? No. I mean,
yeah, other than this,
the Matt thing, like you said before this, you were kind of upset. The Matt and Rat thing is kind of interesting. Light Beasts really didn't get any help, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Because I thought there were some Light Beasts that were kind of lackluster. There were some that got better, but not. Well, I guess the Rake did get a Matt, didn't he?
Oh, the Rake did. Yeah, he's 6 now.
I think he's like the only one in the entire game that gained some statistics.
No, the Feral Warwolf.
Feral Warwolf game 1.
Lights.
Oh, lights. All
right. One more thing we didn't mention. One new rule, and that is the battle groups are now in Hordes.
Yep.
I like it.
It made Hordes pretty powerful. Little change to sneak in.
Should have been War Pack.
Yep. You know, I'm surprised. Well, I shouldn't say that. On one hand, I'm surprised they didn't actually make up a new name of it, because they apparently made up a new name for Merc contracts.
Mm-hmm. For minions.
Yeah, which means they're probably going to make up a new word for partisans or all sorts of crazy. It's going to be Blood Brother. The Totem Hunter is the first zoo Blood Brother, by the way. Because they reuse spells. So they had to keep the battle wording name.
And Tim, you've said this a million times, it usually only matters if you've got multiple Warlock games.
Yeah. So. And I think it's cool because that means there's a lot of cool spells that were in War Machine that can now be ported over for cool and interesting use in Hordes.
Full throttle?
Yes.
It fixes,
you can't throttle
these. It fixes all their kind of... It basically lets them replace this Warlock and War Beasts in their control area, blah, blah, blah. Say this model in its battle group.
Oh, there were some really powerful shenanigans that you could do between the two.
Yeah.
So I'm
especially really like 1,000-point games and whatnot.
Yeah, imagine if Vale got new insight and you ran Vale and Epic Thagrash. How broken that would be.
That would be awesome. Actually, that would be very broken.
It would be very broken.
Should I run it with 6 Seraphs?
I mean, you still can't. Yeah. You should do that. Because they would kill anything. It'd be so good.
Except Assault Commandos.
Except Salt
Command. And druids.
And druids.
You just go you charge the UA and kill it.
He's going to be hanging back.
Okay. That's why I have wings. Blood. Oh, wait, no.
They're only Powtens.
But anyway. Yeah, battle groups. That's actually a change. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it does force you to assign your beasts in multi-warlock games. Mm-hmm. That's actually the biggest part of it. It means you can't like put one shredder and give both warlocks tenacity.
Does it mean you're going to have, you know, whenever you have one warlock, you have X number of fury points or beasts out there. And if you have two warlocks, a lot of times you'll share like a beast or so, you know, expecting them both to pull off of it. Do you think you're going to have more beasts? Do you think you have more than 2X beasts if you have two warlocks now?
I don't know because I don't play enough 1,000-point games, but I think it's going to add a little bit more of a headache to the whole leeching aspect of things. I think that I honestly think that the way hordes worked at 1,000-point was kind of easier on the player, even if it did make for broken
combos. I agree. Combos. Yeah. But it won't be any more complicated, I think, than War Machine.
No,
but
I think it'll be.
But it was, yeah,
I think all you're going to see isn't maybe one extra beast here or there.
Yeah,
I think it'll end up being like a light or something.
As far as Mark II is concerned already, I'm already adding more beasts, so I think that it's going to help a little bit.
I've done some beast-heavy games. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I'm adding like crap tons of beasts in every one of my lists, but we'll get to that later.
Minion Warlocks? There was a mention of Minion Warlocks in the
Not
other
lesser room. Warlocks.
Minion Warlocks.
Warlocks.
And you know what I think of this? What
do
you
Epic
think?
Magnus.
Suck.
He is a Minion Warlock.
Yeah, he is, actually.
No, he's a Minion Warcaster.
Well, maybe Warcaster Scorn, right? Doesn't he become a Warlock?
He becomes a...
Or he's a Minion Warcaster.
Minion Warcaster.
I honestly am very disappointed in this.
What's that?
Me too.
I don't think... If you're going to make a new faction, make a new faction. I don't think mercenaries need to be their own thing.
I agree with you.
And I don't think minions need to be their own thing.
I think it's just going to open up the can of worms that War Machine had dealt with for a long, long time before they... I mean, how many years did they deal with that before the contracts became, you know, like the official?
And then even then, they were saying, oh, there's no Merc. Like they were giving out coins and stuff, but they weren't saying Merc is a legal faction. And then now they were finally like, okay, Mercs are fat and Mercs are a faction now.
But I mean, in the rules, at least, minions and Mercs aren't, I mean, you can easily call them a faction. The rules call them out as a faction. So really, are you guys just talking about the complaints that take place outside of the rule set, like just in the community?
I don't think they should be there. I don't think they should be a faction you can play.
Just by themselves?
They should be a supporting role. They should not be everything you put on the table.
But what problems does it cause for the game for it to be its own pseudo-faction?
Then you have people who can now... Okay, so you start playing minions, let's say. We say we get three warlocks, okay? Mm-hmm. Now you've got a limited army
pool.
Enough,
you have to also create enough models and units to give them enough choices to be somewhat competitive.
But they don't have to make them – they don't have to give them enough choices to be competitive. Now, it sucks for the players. You want to do that, sure.
That's the thing.
But PP doesn't have to do that.
You should.
If they don't, then like you said, it sucks for those players, and players are going to get disgruntled. And eventually, they're going to release stuff to make them – more competitive.
People are already disgruntled about the retribution.
It's a way to sell.
There's also the curve that with like mercs, since they're already defined, in general, mercs have to be weaker than the main factions with models and units and things like that. They're not strictly on par with things that are already in existing factions. There's a design aspect that we don't really see.
It also increases the delicacy. It makes it so much harder to balance these models, because now basically models, merc models, have to be able to work in at least two armies, let alone however many other factions.
And one of them's going to be trolls.
Well, yeah. And one of them, but I mean,
that's kind of what I was trying to say.
Yeah, sure. You have, for example, Thor, who it's not just, who does he work for? Kador and Signar?
And Seer Forge.
And, but now it's also Seer Forge.
He doesn't work for Mouth?
No, I don't believe so.
Most of the Xenos do not work for the
protectors. He's too short to fit on a rack, so we don't hire him anyway. It doesn't matter. But my point is that it just makes it even harder to balance things. And now they've got to make models specifically to help out the privateer factions. Well, you know, that was like one of the examples, to make the mercs competitive. But the thing is, if you give mercs a boost to make them equal other factions,
you boost the other factions.
You're boosting the other factions because other factions are going to take that model too.
God, I'm totally bringing Thor in my Kador. I didn't even think about it. How awesome that would be.
I could be wrong. I've never felt.
No, he totally works for Kador. The dwarves like Kador.
Just as an aside here, we actually saw this yesterday, Jason and I at the store. We were you had something happened in your game where you needed to know whether a faction, like your troll blood, I guess, or your opponent's troll bloods could give an order or rally.
Oh, and yeah. No, it was it was the fell calls, knowing if by affecting my opponent's models with Grisel's feet, are they affected by fell calls, hence he cannot fell call them. Granted, it did not matter because the fell call died to fire. But we ruled, I mean, I don't think it was. I don't think that it was a problem because I think the way Grisel's feet's worded now, it's not that she's affected by all fell calls. It just says that they do these things. What it does say, however, is affected friendly models are considered to be affected by a fell call this turn. So,
right, but the enemy models aren't.
Yeah.
But that wasn't
even though they are affected by a fell call. They're not affected by fell calls.
But before that, though, your opponent had an issue where you needed to know whether, like, your Trollblood Warlock could rally, like, a minion or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
The rules, at least as far as I could tell, you no longer can do that. You can only command things in faction. So a Warlock in the Trollbloods, for example, can't rally your Swamp Gobbers.
Which is what it was.
If I read it right.
And his Earthborn landed on top of one when I threw him. It was fun.
So it was just another little thing that made me think of the whole minion warlock being its own separate thing.
Just imagine the Earthborn Dire Troll flying through the air and landing on a Swamp Gobbler.
I thought Lesser Warlocks were the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it was such a neat way to do it. I was so happy that they did that because I was like, oh, sweet, no Warlock. What about the chance that they're just prepping? You know, it's Mark II. We've got this book. Most likely they have the idea they're going to do it. But what if they're like on the fence about it? What if they're just going to put it in there so that they have to rewrite the rules when they do really?
If they put it in there, the first thing they're going to ask is, when are we going to get it? When are we going to get it?
Didn't they call out the name of the book?
I don't remember.
I thought they had Forces of Minions or something like that.
Minions,
yeah, I thought they had that. What
they said. Wow. That's a big deal. I didn't know that.
And if they were on the fence about it, I don't think they would have put it in the rules.
The Warpwolf Warrior?
I want another,
yeah, that's another thing, yeah.
Giant gator of some kind. That's all I want.
Why'd you hold your hands out in front of your crotch like that when you said
talking with my hands? Baby gator. I wasn't.
Giant gator.
Because he went to Florida.
the minion, the Lesser Warlocks thing was cool and fun. And I'm kind of disappointed that they're going to go that route. I'm wondering, are you going to be able to bring, like, how are they going to, is it going to be exactly like Mercs where it's like, oh, you can bring gator models in this faction? Or are they just going to be like, you can bring every minion?
I don't know.
I think the packs will be race specific. I think, like, you're going to see a Pharaoh pact, and it's going to be Pharaoh and maybe a couple other things, but mostly Pharaoh.
Gobbers will work for everybody.
Why not?
Because
they're small.
Gobbers don't say no.
Sometimes they can't say no when, like, the Legion gets hold of them.
Yep.
Or the Scorn.
Or the Scorn, yeah.
Or the Trolls.
They're gonna eat. If the Scorn gets a hold of them, the Gobbers don't say no. They say,
put out the cloud because I'm giving the order.
Yeah.
Hey, you, Cloud. Or no. Hey, me, Cloud. I was telling Jason that earlier. Tim, I don't know if you're in the room. Cloud cover on the Swamp Gobbers is in order now. So every time I saw somebody do it in the past few days, I'm like, you give them the order? And inevitably, they did not give them the order. That's going
to
be a problem.
You won't have to ask me that. Because I don't play them.
Oh, yeah, me either.
I have them, and I have them painted, but I try not to fit them in.
Are we ready to go to Miles then?
No, sure. Because I want to talk about that one more minute.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I really don't. Right. Actually, no, it's not true. I made a 49-point list yesterday, and I was like, I can put my gobbers in there, but I didn't do it. They can die.
That's awesome.
So you deliberately took a 49-point list?
Yeah.
So where do you want to start with models?
At the front.
Well, we're not going to go over everything specifically, just like a general overview of what
we're going to go over stuff in more detail later after playing it more. But like just some of like our favorite changes and not favorite changes.
Yeah.
Who's first?
The Legion.
The Legion's first. Okay.
Because I said so.
Okay. Legion, what's up, dude?
Well, let's see. Little less Parasite. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
That's maybe the sweetest thing.
The Pal 15 bow now.
Yeah. Well, not the first one. It's like.
Well, no, not the first one.
Well, you could.
If she hits.
You could just cast it.
Yeah. Good luck.
Well, okay. You upkeep it round two.
If it's not a Cotter Jack.
Right.
You're not going to be too hard pressed to do it.
That's kind of cool.
That's ridiculous. For Legion, that's pretty insane.
Yeah.
And what does she have now that you've always wanted on her?
She has Isle of Sight, which is cool. It's
lost fluffy. Arcing Fire, though.
She lost. I'm okay with that.
That's a little ridiculous to hit people with accurate bow and arrow with Arcing Fire, in my opinion. I think Arcing Fire thing should be very accurate. It's like, I'm going to get you right over there.
Well, she trained for the Olympics. She, like, sets the torch off.
But that was cool.
I was gonna say she's way better. Like she's very good.
She is, and this, in my opinion, is very sad. Still way supportive of Seraph Span.
True, but she also another thing too. This is while everyone got magical weapons, magical ranged weapons are quite powerful.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, she's cool. She kept her bow blades, so she can still actually charge and stuff too.
But it's not magical.
Yep.
Well, how do you think the Legion fared overall? Do you think that they're
going to go overall?
I think we should just go overall. Like, we can each like pick a model, I guess, and then give an overall.
Well,
We'll pick.
If I was going to cry about changes from Mark One,
mm-hmm.
I would be sad because things change from Mark One.
But you're not, because you're comparing it to the rest of Mark.
But that's a given and expected, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff kind of changed in how it's used in interesting in different ways. It's just going to be a relearning of the faction because they don't work like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite tactic with Legion before was throw a bunch of threats that can just run around and through your army at you and force you to stop them before I get over them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't anymore. So that will be changing.
You can still do that, just not with the precision that you could before.
To an extent, yeah. I mean, I have to create holes now. I can't just go over stuff. So I can't do it any better than any other factions did.
Sure. Well, Saren's feet now, instead of doing the stop and go, you can just do the go.
Yep.
It's pretty sweet.
I don't know. I played against somebody who was using Veil yesterday, and I can't blame him, but he feated. Or no, he was talking about using Veil. He said, yeah, I can do this and this and this, and then I pull back. I said, that's not what I want to hear somebody to say.
No, not at all. Yep. I think that Veil's feat is stupid. I think it's good. I don't think that it's a very good feat for the meta of the game. I mean, I understand in scenario play it's not as strong because you can't pull back and win a scenario game, but not everyone plays scenario games. And I think that the encouragement to pull back is, okay, Epicale sits on a 1-inch line. Or Haley does.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to play against that.
You could move forward.
You could. Well, if I was immune to free strikes, I would send stuff over your lines and engage you with my second line.
Well, during the movement, you can't be affected by free strikes during that movement. So you can charge in, kill a heavy with two angels, and fly them both over next to your caster. That sounds pretty powerful to me.
They'll probably die next turn.
Not if you killed the heavy hitter. And then most likely the heavy hitter is a jack who can't move through infantry. So they've got to part their infantry. And
your opponent knows what you can do, though, so that's something to always
keep. I mean, I'm not saying there's no offensive use of it. I shouldn't say that.
It's just, it's easily abused by
pulling back. Yeah, I mean, if someone plays like Seraphs and Archers and maybe Strider or something like that, it's like shoot, 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 fall back.
I'm just saying if there's a bunch of warmongers that get to move into your face and cause all sorts of abomination checks, that's pretty sweet, too. I like that.
I have to say I've been seeing a ton of failed terror checks.
Yeah.
Terrifying enemy checks, and I'm loving that.
Yeah. I thought I failed one, but then I realized they were fearless from Grisel's free turn.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
So Thagrash the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty spot on him. No hubris flight. 10-inch spray.
Yeah. Yeah. He and Terminus are shooting each
other. It's cold and fire. It's so cold it burns.
So if you're immune to either, are you immune to
it? Yes.
Immune to
damage? Yeah, I think that's
see, I don't. Okay.
No, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I don't, cold and fire is a bad thing.
That's,
but it's a good thing for me because I don't play it.
Right, yes.
Yep.
But, you know, he kept his big bad melee weapon and that kind of stuff, so he's still cool. He upgraded Black Chasm. It shrunk, but got better.
Damn right, it's an upgrade. Denegger's known that all along.
Yeah, it's auto.
It's called Scourge, baby.
Insane.
Moving on, my Warlocks, I mean, I could go over and talk about some of the stuff that they all changed, sure. And we'll do that later.
We'll go through that.
I mean, yeah. there's some cool stuff.
Like, any favorites?
Permanent decapitations is fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I did kill her while she was incorporeal the other day, though.
Nice. Yeah, the change in Death Shadow. The Lessers lost some armor and some life.
You lost
only 2 points.
And one gain sprint.
And that is the cost of many souls. That's like a crazy good price.
You did lose a light beast, though. You lost
a light beast.
But you gained a heavy.
I sort of.
The lightest heavy in the game.
Yeah, the biggest, I guess, worry about for Legion players was the Seraph,
mm-hmm.
which for good reason it deserved to be taken back a notch. But I think it was taken back about one too many, in my opinion. I think it is overpriced for what it does now.
I don't buy it.
For 8 points, for strafe, wings, basically is all terrain, really.
Mm.
It gives it a bonus on charge, but it's a gun platform.
True.
It got a little extra power in its tail, but other than that...
So then it's not that bad at charging. And it's
there's still not a reason to. You're still going to want to shoot with it. I mean, that's like the hammer on the defender. Do you really care?
I knocked the spirit off my Earthborn the other day when I charged Kray.
Okay, well, good job.
Yeah, that's right. You do care, don't you?
No, not at all. I would much rather shoot.
Well, here's the thing, though. While you would much rather shoot, the Mat 6 is going to be nice. There are things in your faction now that does only affect Mat. For example, or like Ryas's feet, you might bring it as an artillery platform, but on the turn that you need it, the extra mat and the extra 2 power is going to be nice. Plus, Slipstream is still broken and only costs 1, so I don't want to hear it.
It costs one. Oh,
it's
my
got.
God.
Is it still costs one? It has serpentine now as well, so no slams or tramples, and which makes a difference now because it is heavy and could trample. I just think it's a little bit too much. I'm okay with a lot of these changes are good. I think they just added too many of them to the model. That's my only complaint. I think it's like a point too expensive, but that's just it. Especially because, well, I mean, you look at the tariff, which is still not good.
Yeah. That's another conversation for another day. But speaking of POW increases, how about Typhon being POW 17? What the hell were they thinking?
They were thinking, well, he's not going to be throwing you, so he better at least be able to kill you.
That's really insane. I expected 16. I really did. But 17, that's like, there's not... What hits
Reach,
that hard,
by the way?
What hits that hard in Hordes? Molg. The bronze back doesn't even hit that hard anymore.
Yep.
That's pretty insane.
Well, the Carnivian.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Carnivian does, of course.
Because he is awesome now. He should be for 11 points. His spray is 10 inches. His animus affects Warjacks. And he no longer has Lockjaw.
Did it not affect Warjacks before?
No, it was only Warbeasts.
Just Warbeasts. Really? I thought it affected both. How about that?
So now you got that going on.
Which is only a little bit of damage. Not that big of a deal, but that's less damage you have to do to the Warjack if you attack it next turn. The big deal, though, is, I mean, the lack of...
You're having some Lockjaw issues?
Thank you, yes. Ha 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 ha. See what you did there. I took it from the Carnivian because he no longer has it. So you can assault and still bite.
You will be assaulting.
Yes. Or you can charge, bite, claw, claw, bite, 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 bite.
That's an 18.
That is an extra plus two to every damage roll after the first initial ones.
Here's a question. I don't know how assault reads. If you don't move 3 inches, do you not assault? Or do you still get to make the range attack?
It's part of a charge.
Oh.
There is no movement restriction.
It's not an order or anything.
So you can just be in melee.
Yeah, I was about to say. I mean, I don't.
You can spend a fury to assault.
Yeah, if you're like 2 inches
melee?
Away, would it be worth it to assault?
No, what about if you're in melee? Can you just do it?
I doubt it.
It says as moving, but before you make your attack. Now, unless there's new definitions on charges
in
the core rules, which I'd have to look up.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it could basically pull a Typhon.
Interesting.
It can gunfighter. But what's funny about Gunfighter is it's half inch, and Typhon has 2 inch reach.
Yep.
So you've got to be in half inch to make the Gunfighter shots. I like that. That's funny to me.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see if they actually change that. He's awesome.
So thumbs up on the Legion?
Yeah, for the most part.
Skater Crew lost inaccurate. I know you're excited about that.
Who? The what?
Skater Crew.
Possipot's still a big AoE bait.
It lost. Isn't it a Rat 7 range 15? That's pretty good. It's pretty nice.
It's AoE. It's AoE 3 still.
Yeah.
That extra point of damage if someone walks into it is not worth
3 points.
Making it a 3 point AoE.
There's one thing I want to bring up and get your opinion on, and that's the new Incubi, even though it's called Incubus.
That's because they've always been that.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was Incubi.
Well, they are. They are, but it is
not. I understand, but I thought the card said Incubi before. I don't know.
Does it really matter?
No.
Well, units usually have the plural, so I guess I could see them using the plural in that.
But anyways, yeah, how do you feel about new host rules?
I'm fine with them.
I feel like they may be better, because you can't just kill them. You don't get the boosted attack, but God, that's deceptive. The whole, like...
Within 3 inches.
Yeah, although I did devise a 7-model way to destroy a Incubi without it coming out, just by placing Creel Warriors on top of that Incubi.
Yeah, I'm going to see what the ruling is on if there's not space for them, if it's least disturbance or not.
Well, no. Why couldn't the marker stay there until...
Nope, it has to come out.
Yeah, it has to come out the next turn.
No, screw that. If my pigs can't come out, they die, your Incubi's dying.
Well, then they need to specify that.
Dead. No, but they're sweet. While they did lose a couple of things,
they're still mat 6, they're still Poplar Strength 14.
With 2 attacks, and that's big.
That's not bad at all.
And the fact that you're gonna get the attacks, unless you take free strikes. Like, you're gonna get them. Whereas before, you might get your boosted attack, but most of the time they
die. The other thing is, before, if you killed one in melee, they would pop out in the melee range of whatever killed them. They could not move away. Now with the 3 inches of placement, you actually have space to put them, for example, behind stuff or outside of melee range.
You can place them behind you and get back.
They can charge completely unrelated targets.
Yeah.
And they're no longer terrors, which is great for you non-Legion players. And I'm okay with.
I think it's
fair. That was the biggest
complaint.
They're
still a point
five
each.
Terror checks.
No, my biggest complaint was...
They're still a point each.
My biggest complaint is this, and it still exists, that Legion players can kill their own things to get Incubi out.
Sure, the next turn.
So, you did that stupid template thing. Like, you could still shoot one of your archers in the back with a combined range after moving first turn. And then, it doesn't come out that turn, but who cares? Because next turn you place it 3 inches and run into the corner of your the front end of your point zone.
Oh, you mean for like a scenario play? Yeah, yeah.
Still can do that.
Yep.
That's stupid. But yeah, you can't do the whole like shoot yourself in the back, move, charge thing.
Right.
Which was kind of stupid. But other than that, Legion's cool.
Tim, what about your Scorn? What do you think?
Where to start with the Scorn? E-Morgul is still pretty much
a Doom Laser.
Yeah, he will get where he needs to. I think he requires a little more finesse now.
He has to do it himself now.
He has to do it himself, and he requires a little more finesse. But I still think I could probably take him and run roughshod over a lot of people. I think he switched to being a supreme attrition caster now with Blind and some of his other stuff.
And Grievous Wounds sets up the dirtiest assassination.
Because that's just within melee range, right?
Yeah, you just gotta get one attack. It's not even about killing him. Like, if you get up on a heavy dude that you can't take down with Epic Morgul, you stab him, and then you send him in. Like, you know, you've got, let's say it's like Borka, you know, with, you know, he's got two Fury on him, so it's good to go up there and just stab him. He's under the aura, so maybe he's arm 19. You boost your damage roll, you deal a couple points of damage, but now you can send him Mullet Karn or a Savage and just finish him off without the worry about him transferring. That's pretty sweet. What about regular Morgul?
He's interesting. I want to give him some time on the field. With 7 beast points, that's almost a Titan Gladiator, although I'd rather have a Rhinodon.
What about the Bronzeback? Why don't you just buy one of those?
We'll get to the beasts. I have my issues with the beast.
He's amazing. His feat is better against War Machine.
Uh-huh.
You can't spend focus at all. That is awesome. The Warlocks can spend Fury, but Warcasters cannot. I've already heard a story where you lock down someone like, you know, someone who needs to spend their focus, and it's really great. Also, Maltreatment, huh, that's so good on him. That's a perfect spell. I'm so perfect ability. You know, that was one of
it's a pain giver.
Mosar has it.
Yeah, Mosar had it. Yeah. That's like a perfect thing to give him. And he's got Riposte.
Yeah, I think he's very solid. I think we'll see him a lot. Especially I think in the all Jacks and Beasts type format.
Oh, which man.
Is
the,
but you know what actually kind of worries me is that Epic Morgul can now be taken in that level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, scary. Which one would you really rather have?
Well, that's the scary thing, too. I mean, you got the same kind of thing about Epic Kane.
Epic Nemo in that regard, too. Epic, is super Epic good in that level.
Well, no, I'm not just talking about Epics. I'm just talking about someone who can go and do it themselves. Like, Epic Morgul and Epic Kane, I feel like, are those kind of people. When you have no one on the field to stop you,
right?
What are you going to do? Like, how are you going to stop, draw... What are you going to do to block line sight to Epic Kane? You know, what are you going to do to stop Epic Morgul, who ignores free strikes, to coming there and just stabbing you in the face? It's going to be tough. And also, Torment got way better because you can't, it essentially grievously wounds you now.
I like Xerxes a lot more now. I think I'm going to be playing him a ton.
His feat easier to use?
His feat is a million times easier to use.
It's a mini butcher.
And he gained reach. In my opinion, like, reach is the huge. That and the feat is just boom. He's awesome now.
And how about Fury, too? Great spell.
Fury is awesome. It was. I had it on Citrati, so they were P plus S, 14 weapon masters.
God. Kapow. That's insane. That is insane.
It was pretty sweet. Hexorus, I want to get hit some play on him. Death March changed, but in a way that's still useful.
Mm-hmm.
It's only one guy.
You get a little more choice.
You get a little more choice. Open. Yeah, yeah. I think he's still going to see some play.
It's definitely one of the most powerful spells in the game.
Well, in Mark 1, yes. It was on the
entire unit. Yeah.
So now you only get to choose one guy, but you get to choose
the Didn't
guy.
Dark Dominion used to affect non-living models, though?
No, I think it might have. I don't remember. I stopped playing my Mark 1 Scorn a long time ago. Zal is interesting. A lot of people say that he's a little weaker, which in a ways he is, because he doesn't synergize as well with the Immortals anymore like he used to. Last Stand requires a living model, and so does Hollow.
Well, Hollow always did.
Hollow always did, but with Last Stand requiring it, you couldn't put it on Immortal.
Also, anymore. Last Stand, you just die. Like, it's the next attack you
make. The Kovas went down to 5 wounds, but that was kind of needed, because anytime I played Zal, the Kovas with 10 wounds would kind of wreck into people's faces, because they couldn't... There was just really not a lot of ways to take care of them and hurt them.
Yeah.
I think Mordekaiser is really interesting.
Now all the Warlocks have magic weapons.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he got hit twice.
He got hit twice. Do you think that's okay, or do you think he got hit
too much? No, I don't have
it's a free model.
It's a free model.
He doesn't seem like he's paying for it in Warbeast points. He's only got 5 Warbeast. He's got 5 Warbeast points.
I mean, do you...
You're the Scorn player.
I don't see it as a detriment.
Okay.
Mordekaiser got toned down, but he kind of needed to be toned down, so...
Revive instead of Spirit and Amber?
Yeah, and you know, I don't have a problem with that, because instead of one guy coming back for one turn, I get a guy back permanently.
What I don't get about Mordekaiser is why he has 4 Warbeast points. I didn't think
it is a low number, but
I didn't think he was. Five is fine, but I didn't think
4. I want to put him out on the table before I complain too much about that number.
So what couple of beasts stand out to you then in a negative?
I think the Drake is going to see a ton of more play just because of how potent sprays are, and his animus is. It feels a little wonky to me because it gives a unit bushwhack.
No, it doesn't. It gives a model.
I hate the animus, but I like the model overall.
It would be cool on Moloch Karn, like after each art, like he, you know, he's in melee, you give him bushwhack, he kills stuff.
And then Fate Walker him too. Is he still a Fate Walker? So he can like just scream a field.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would kind of be weird, but fun.
What about your baby boy Kriya?
My Kriya changed, but I'm okay with the Kriya changing. Mm-hmm. It's
what's the change? Lay it out for us, Timmy.
The aura is its animus now, so it gains +2 defense and armor versus range attacks. And enemy model.
But as its animus, that means a warlock can throw it up too. I mean, you can protect more of your army.
Your army can be protected. And if you're within 2 inches of it, enemy models are -2 defense.
And doesn't host movement though anymore, right?
No, it doesn't host
movement. Not a main TB.
And what about the lockdown?
The lockdown, the paralysis, he gained paralysis on its gun. So no, it's continuous effect, no charging or slamming.
You got your crit
or running or charging and your defense goes down to 7.
And also, it's Fury 3 now.
Yeah, but you know what? That's fine for what it can do. I don't think it's a problem.
How many points is it?
4.
So it's
that is a steal.
It's very good.
What about your Titans?
I think the rest of the Light Beast, the Cyclops, I love them as they are. I couldn't see any changes to them.
I think the Shaman sucks.
The Shaman's 4 points, though. He's there to make upkeeps go away.
But only see him as doing. But only on your guys, not on the enemy's guys anymore.
Matt, who cares?
I would.
I mean, yeah, it's not as utilitarian anymore. I'll give it that. But
if you know you're going against Cricks or something, should throw one in.
How many upkeeps go on enemy on your
Crippling
models?
Grass? Crippling Grass,
Parasite. Other than Cricks.
Well, not in, it may not work in general, but a lot of things don't work in general. No, I would disagree.
Really?
Potent things that get rid of things like upkeeps that hold your army, those are few and far between.
Most things that get rid of upkeeps get rid of either upkeeps. Like,
I'm saying abilities like get rid of upkeeps that can possibly get rid of something like a Crippling Grasp. That's pretty potent, and it's not going to be here. It's not going to be everywhere.
Okay.
Getting to the heavies, by far my favorite two, I think, and I think their top two beasts are Moloch Karn and the Cannoneer, and I think the Rhinodon comes in a third after that. I really don't care for the Gladiator or the Bronzeback.
Is still the problem they had before of they're too slow?
They're too slow, and there's not enough stuff in the Scorn Army to get them up there fast enough.
The Cannoneer,
they lag behind everything else.
You've got the Choir of Hordes going on right now.
You don't think the Pangivers can get them up free?
And slams.
Yeah, but if you're going to be moving, typically you're going to be moving in a straight line anyway.
I think that the Gladiator didn't get the mat that he needed because he's a melee beat stick and he's only mat 5. And if he's slamming, yeah, you lost the slam penalties, but I just think he needed the mat. And I have no idea why they took the strength away from the Bronzeback. That makes no sense. Makes no sense.
It's a little odd, but I guess that's just to make, you know, most of the Titan stat line.
I know that Bronzebacks were running around being evil and needed nerfing, you know?
Well, it's true. But I think that's we just going to have to – the Scorn players are going to have to get some serious games together and put in some good notes to send in.
Absolutely.
So getting past them, Infantry, Citrati, and Archaeori are now 8 wounds each.
Big
Holy
deal.
Cow.
What kind of armor are we looking at?
Citrati and Shieldwall are 20.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeori are 15. And I actually dug my Archaeori out of the closet not too long ago. I only own 5 of them, so I had to get another one for a full unit. But I think they're costed appropriately. I think they're just solid all the way around. They're both weapon masters. Citrati lost set defense, but I can live with that because of how survivable they are now.
And you know, with extra boxes, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see myself running at least one unit of Citrati in most scoring lists now.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's your best unit, other than the Pain Givers.
They're one of their bests. Beast Handlers, as Flanzer said, are the Choir. They're great. I really can't complain about them. I think, actually, you're going to see more of them now, just because the more beasts are going to be used, I think.
And controlling Frenzies is at an all-time premium, as we'd stated earlier.
Mm-hmm. Tyrant Commander and Standard Bearer, I think, is going to see still a lot of play. +2 movement. It's got a Pathfinder ability, and it also has the ability for models to ignore tough. So when you're going against the trolls, you go, oh, my weapon masters ignore tough. Well, so they might actually be able to get through and take down some.
But it's not just that. I actually think the tough thing's not as great as the removing from play when you kill things.
Well, that's great too.
There's so many destroyed effects that like.
Is it, what is the remove from play trigger on? Boxed or disabled?
Or disabled.
So yeah, the first step.
Yeah, so it's going to get rid of destroy, get around destroyed effects.
Oh, my errants.
Yep, you can die, errants. I hate errants. Oh my god, they piss me off so much.
That's awesome.
We love you, Jesus.
And he gained Weapon Master. I didn't even notice
that.
Yeah,
he did. It allowed him, in my game Wednesday, he killed a Warmonger Warchief.
In one shot?
In one shot. Ray was so mad. Going to the solos, I think the Agonizer is really good for 2 points with 8 wounds. Very survivable. And I think his Maddening, which lowers your threshold by 2, that's going to be huge with the general decrease of threshold.
Yep.
I mean, you're definitely telegraphing what you're going to do because you activate it and then run.
But it's like slam them.
Exactly.
Slam them and then go
it's
up
like,
and do
oh,
negative 2 threshold.
Look. You're going to, you know, you can almost guarantee frenzies.
That's like, what's the range on it, though? What's the maximum range? It's pretty significant.
8 inches.
That's not small.
And he runs 10.
Yeah.
Ancestral Guardians lost Weapon Master. That's huge. That's one of my biggest complaints about the Scorn faction right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's one little thing, but that was one of their go-to models.
Hold on a second.
That's the wrong thing.
So I can't get a tear out.
Yeah. Oh, no, you know what? I agree with Tim because it lost so much fluff. Like it used to be the statue and you had to like spend the souls to do it. Now, yeah, you don't have to do that, but A, it can only have 3 souls. And B, like the fact that when it was able to be in combat, it was so slow, but it was such a great late game finisher. I thought it was a really cool model. I thought it kind of got hit unnecessarily. Plus,
three points now is expensive for them, in my opinion.
And the retaliatory strike not being all the time.
Is it just once per turn?
Yeah, just
that. That doesn't even bother me as much as the lack of 5 souls and the lack of Weapon Master. And I can live with the lack of 5 souls. It's the lack of Weapon Master, I think, is the key for that model.
Can it still use souls off the Extoller Soulward?
Yes.
Okay, so that's something, but...
No.
Oh,
it can't?
They transfer souls.
Oh.
He goes, you have Gatekeeper, I have Gatekeeper. Here, have some of my souls.
But still that's can't have more than 3.
But you can't just spend them.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah,
no, you can't just spend them. The last model I'd like to talk about, because everybody's probably looked at the Extoller Soulward already, I think Tyrant Redeem needs some mentioning. He got toned down, but I think he needed to be toned down. I think he's a really playable model. I actually think I'll run him without the cav in a lot of cases. Pathfinder, he's got the armor piercing. You know, he's got thrust, so he'll do it every attack, even when he's dismounted.
He's got a magical weapon.
That's
cool, too.
Really? Yeah.
Let's go ahead. I want to say one last thing about the score. I know we've talked so much about him, but Reach, Thresher, Anatomical Precision, that's ridiculous. Master Tormentor model.
Yeah, he's dumb.
Pretty silly.
He'll see a lot of play. Yeah.
So, Joshua. Yes. You have some tree-hugging hippies over there.
I do. Overall, I like the changes to the circle. Let's start with the Warlock or two here. Kaya
was. Do you think
always,
they changed it enough to call them the like oval of Warbros?
The oval. It's a squash circle.
Okay.
It let's see. Kaya the Wildborn, regular Kaya. She's a lot like her original form, except one cool thing changed, and that's the Pack Hunter's rule, where now instead of getting a bonus like per War Beast or after War Beast attack. If the enemy model is in her control area, your beasts get a +2 to attack on that beast.
So why the hell do I have to pay Fury for that? And you get it for free.
I know, it's pretty awesome because it makes one of my other... Say it again?
I was going to say because yours gives +2 to damage rolls and
yeah,
your control area
just
is 16
attack.
Inches.
Still.
Yeah. She still has to be within a foot.
So. Oh, noes.
Well, yeah, it can be tricky sometimes. It does help my favorite beast now, the Argus. Slam whatever it wants, which is totally cool. And I'll get to him in a second, I guess. But she's more or less the same, you know, with the spirit dooring back and forth and whatnot. She got a armor increase. No, her armor's still 13.
Soothing Song's a cool ability.
Soothing Song, yeah. So instead of Calm, she can rip Fury off the beast, so you can overheat a little bit and then still not have to, you know, frenzy. Her pop of strength went up by, she's still 11.
Thank Calandra for that spell, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, you have to thank Calandra.
I will not be thanking Calandra. Let's see, Kaya. So she's got the same feel as she did. Kruger, I think he deserves a mention. He's been toned down a little bit. He lost Fork Lightning, so he's not throwing out a bunch of POW 12s, but he's throwing out twice as many POW 10s.
Which is, I think, worse.
In general, I agree. I think it is worse. You know, there's going to be that breaking point in armor where it's worse, but in general, I'd rather have D6 POW 10.
No, he needs better.
Do you think he got better overall then?
I think he's about the same. He's not as. I think he's one of those models that people shouldn't feel bad about playing now. Because he's, you know what I mean?
So every circle player is what
more or less. His feet, for example, is toned down. You don't have to roll on the first round of the feet to hit.
That's awesome.
And you can boost it, but the AoEs still disappear round after round, but you can't move the AoEs. So you put them where you think they're going to do the best, and then you just hope, because you're not moving those guys the rest of the game.
It does give it a defensive element, because you could put it in front of stuff and say, okay, now do your work.
They're mini suppressive fires, kind of, you know, in a way. And it doesn't cause frenzy checks, extra frenzy checks or anything. So it helps out there for your opponent, at least.
Yeah.
The spell was changed, but he still has the same feel. He has deflection instead of windstorm, which helps against magic attacks, but it doesn't help against defense.
We found out that helps, though.
My favorite spell that changed was Lightning Tendrils. I love
Lightning
that spell
Tendrils. Now. People are praising it if you're a circle player, and people are griping about it if you're not, because Electro Leap goes on the model. It doesn't go on a particular weapons. Or how's that read? It doesn't go on melee weapons specifically, I should say.
Yeah, it goes on all the weapons.
So blood.
So your Reaver, your blood trackers, your Reaves, the Wold Stalkers, they all shoot and then leap from there, which is, intended or not, it's pretty crazy. It didn't work too well against Kalander yesterday, as Jason knows, but I think in all right circumstance, you know, your Reaves stand still and they shoot, and that's 40 POW 10s.
Yeah, that's
a lot.
Insane.
It is. So Kruger, I think.
And then you'll sick him with a wolf.
Indeed, yes. So I think Kruger, his shtick is now Lightning Tendrils, I think. And Tornado, because you're going to have a World War and also Tornadoing for you.
Which we'll get into that in a second.
Yes, we will. Let's see, the other guys, Balder. I like Balder. I've used him once. The fact that he has reach, I think a lot like Xerxes, really
makes
him pop.
His teleport thing just easier to do.
His Force Walk, and it also makes it easier because he can now drop his Rapid Growth Force on himself. You're not limited by not putting it over models and things, so he can drop it on himself and then go.
A little more tricky.
Although, I still think the best thing to do is run one of your own models next to him, kill it with a World Watcher, and then push him into the forest. That way he doesn't have to spend anything for a forest. Because you've got a Sentry Stone up north where your mannequin makes a second forest, so he should be able to do it without spending any fury.
Got that planned out pretty nicely.
Say it again?
You got that
I've been doing that for a long time.
I actually love his new feet. I think
his feet is definitely different.
Some people are saying it's a lot worse, which, you know, in many scenarios it may be, but the cover. Ooh.
Yeah, cover
I
in
think
addition
it needed to be changed. It was auto win in MASH.
Yeah.
But I mean, it really was.
If you compare it with things with camouflage, all of a sudden your defense jumps way up. Like Dave was just doing a little wing motion with his hands. It's true, you can fly over it, but your sheriff shots aren't going to ignore my cover.
My sprays do.
Your sprays do, I suppose, yeah. But.
So oh, well. I'll just park Typhon and the Carnivian.
So your
right Carnivian, outside.
Your Rad 4 Carnivian's hitting all of
oh, no, it's
circle
Rad
defense.
6.
It's
still
a very,
not hitting.
It's a very,
defense.
Very fluffy feat, though. I mean, I think they really captured what it's supposed to do in the fluff, which isn't necessarily a great thing, but I think they really captured what it does really well. So I think that's cool.
They
well,
the made Carnivian it so it doesn't suck nearly as bad.
But the Carnivian has Pathfinder.
Which it goes away when it enters
yeah,
the
as soon as you enter the area, it loses Pathfinder.
But your things with sprays have Pathfinder, and so they would move half rate.
Sure, but it's usually like a long spray, which sucks, but...
Boom.
But he's
they don't
very
have to get that close in a 10-inch spray.
Caught it.
Right. His a spell list is essentially the same. He's very, very similar to what he was before. And he's pretty solid before. I think he's pretty good now. Morvana, her feet gives everybody essentially mini eruption of life on their melee weapons. Forests everywhere, POW 13s everywhere.
Her and Balder would be insane, by the way.
Her and Balder would be baller.
It would be. He's like, oh, forest and Balder reach, kill you.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I get the feeling she's the dark horse to watch out for right now.
Oh my god, so. She's absolutely terrifying.
She does have revive, just like Mordekaiser does, and for her, man, that's so expensive. Not,
it is expensive. It's expensive for Mordekaiser,
but what's she going to bring back that's really worth
a Tharn
one
Ravager,
wound? One wound?
A Tharn Ravager to be ganging with?
Maybe, man, that's three fury. I, in a critical moment, absolutely, I can see doing it, but in general, I think it's going to be a little useful.
Her ability to regain fury, though...
In my opinion,
like harvest, you know.
Yeah, but she's still.
I think
that's not going to help her in the. That's not gonna
no, it's not going to help her during her active.
Right.
I think there's
sure.
a trade off there, but
sure,
I think
absolutely.
It's useful too.
Tharn Ravagers with her are pretty sweet because, which we haven't gotten to, because they gained life.
Mm-hmm.
Your ability to transfer to them,
yeah.
is awesome.
That
eight
is true.
Points of life. 8 points of life is just the sweet spot where you're getting hit by something. Mm-hmm. You know, you transfer that 8 off, and maybe only take a couple, or maybe it doesn't even kill the Tharn Ravager.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the armor in the Tharn Ravager?
It's 14. But see, I'll get to them.
It doesn't matter. It's a transfer.
All right, we'll get to it in a second. The Argus, like I mentioned before, he's awesome. His defense went up. He's a defense 15 now. I'm not complaining about that. That's pretty sweet. Doppler Bark went to paralysis.
What's their mat?
Their mat is 5. They didn't go up, but they're going to be mat 7 with Gaia. So when they slam your stuff, they don't care.
And Tracker is sweet.
Tracker, their Animus is what everybody has been hoping for. Now you get Pathfinder.
I don't know what was wrong with their old Animus.
It cost 3 Fury. That was a big thing about it. I actually used it a couple times with Chromac, though. Their Animus gives you Pathfinder and what, Hunter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's really weird that an Animus that I think is going to be used so much gives Pathfinder to a faction where Pathfinder is ubiquitous.
But it's not funny. On the beast.
Oh, I know. I'm saying it's funny. I'm saying it's funny that it's so useful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So and Argus is cool. I own 12, and I'm glad. Pureblood Warpwolf. You can go ghostly and grant ghostly to the Feral Warpwolf. That's pretty cool. So we're going through your lines and getting in your base and stuff.
He's now a ranged attacker.
Yeah, instead of his Animus being the ranged thing, he actually has a ranged attack. So Chromat can't spam it. I never actually did that in the first place. But instead, his Animus gives, what's it called, Phantom Seeker. Which kind of competes with Hunter on the Argus, sort of. But we got the Feral Warpwolf.
Wait, hold on a second. No, Ghostly doesn't go through models.
No.
It
doesn't. I thought you said through your lines.
Oh, I may have. I didn't mean it literally.
Okay.
Yeah. The Feral Warpwolf, as Matt jumps up to 7. He still has the same warpings, so he's really going up there. He's really beaten face. His Animus, I think, is really cool, especially given that your opponent might be really carefully placing the Fury and the Beast. If you can put even one or two more Fury out there, that may be a frenzy they're not counting on.
Would you say that, I mean, to interrupt you since you're on this model, mm-hmm. would you say that the change in this name probably implies there's going to be more Warpwolves? And would you consider that to be a good thing for the faction?
I think it'd be a good thing. I think they just changed it to Feral, just so it's... So you don't have a difference between Warpwolf and Pureblood Warpwolf. You know, they just clarified a little more, although it certainly opens the door for more. There was a mention in the rulebook of a Warrior Warpwolf, I think it was called, or Warpwolf Warrior,
yep.
And in one of the diagrams, I think. And so either that was a typo or they were just hinting at something to come. So could be a Warpwolf with a weapon maybe or something.
Maybe it's like the step in between. Maybe it's like a solo who's turning into a Warpwolf. Oh,
could be. Absolutely.
That could be cool. Your version of the Brute or the Protector.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
How about the Feral Warpwolf real quick? I mean, Matt boost.
Yeah.
That's huge. Gaining a bite and then a POW boost on the claws. He's
the Pureblood lost its bite.
Yeah, but now he's not the go-to for that. I mean, you've got this Feral Warpwolf who is insane. Like, he got the biggest buff out of any heavy by far.
Yeah, he's something to be reckoned with, really.
Do you think there was the
possibility of them doing that because of like World Wardens being so potent in the past?
I don't know.
To make really give them another viable option.
World Wardens, you said?
World Wardens.
Well, I mean, I was going to World Warden next. I think the World Warden, as cool as it is, it's not going to be putting out as much damage as it used to, I don't think.
I think now it's a beater.
Well, I think it always was. It's just that now people are going to be wanting to use Geomancy to cast like strength buffing spells and things, and that means it's losing Fury, and it's not going to be making as many attacks or boosting as much.
But also, it also can actually make attacks and stuff on the same turn it does its Geomancy now, because it's not a special attack, which is cool.
It works a lot like Megalith does in Mark 1, and Megalith still does that in Mark 2. So, you know, if you got Balder, you can charge for free, and then in between your charge and your charge attack, by the way, which was something else we didn't mention, you can do things like cast a spell.
You can cast Stoneskin after charging?
Yes.
Holy, before making your attacks? Uh-huh.
So you do that. And
wowzers.
Then, yeah.
That is insane.
So I think there are a lot of combos that we just haven't seen yet that people haven't dug in deep enough yet to find, and it'll be interesting to see what pours out of Geomancy. You are putting a ton of Fury in the field, so we'll see how that goes. Okay, we got the Tharn Ravagers, like Jason said. They jumped up in points in terms of hit points, but their armor dropped down. These guys you have to protect, I think, to get in there, but once they're in, they're stuck in, and they can deal a lot of damage, especially when they can heal
themselves. Granting flank is awesome.
Flank, they're probably strength 15.
I'm actually cool.
You mean gang?
Gang, I'm sorry. Because it's granted, not tactic, so you can kill the shaman.
Yep. Druids are a little bit different. They got lots of immunities with the Overseer, which is cool.
No more
Blackblood. No more devouring, but they still do other things.
The shaman is mat 8 and gain powerful charge on the Ravagers. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I like the sentry stones. They've been dying on me, but I think they're kind of cool because they're more maneuverable. I feel like they can do more, especially since you start with a trio of mannequins.
I think they're missing just this little thing. So. There's something in there.
I think for 3 points,
something.
It's okay if they miss something.
I think they might work better with like Kaya or whoever goes occultation, for example.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think if it had stealth, I think that'd be...
Yeah, I think that's something you're going to have to pay for, though. Let's see, what else do we have? Lord of the Feast is sweet. He's scared. I think every game I played with him, he's caused a unit to flee. Or cower, or whatever you want to say. He's got so many options with Virtuoso, being able to Thresher or throw the Raven and then buy attacks and then do anything he wants. He's great.
So you can move, then Raven, and then...
You can move, attack something, Raven, and then use Corpse Tokens to attack again.
And also, you can... And because he has... Not only could you not do that in Mark 1, mm-hmm. but he also has an additional speed at which to move at.
Yes. And his rat is 7 now, which is also the exact same as his mat. So he can actually throw the Raven as far as he can charge. So you get to make some interesting choices with him. I think he's a great model now. Just a few little tweaks here and there makes him awesome.
I gotta say, my favorite unit that got tweaked, and it wasn't even really a big tweak, but I think you're going to see a ton of play are the Blood Weavers.
Oh my god!
Yeah. I think they're going to see a ton of play.
They are some little monsters.
So I went through too many models there, I think, but I'm just so excited about these guys. I give the Circle 2 big thumbs up.
Wait, are they like Warwolf thumbs up?
I don't know. Yeah, that's
Werewolves of London.
Who's got two thumbs and likes a circle?
This guy.
Oh wow!
All right, Jason. What about the trolls?
So Scooby Doo. I like the trolls a lot. I think that they.
You got some dumb stuff.
I did, but you know what?
Trolls, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that they're broken at all. I think that they needed lots of help, so in turn they got lots of help. I think it's a fair way to say it. Out of all the warlocks, one of my favorite changes was to regular Doomshaper. Always talked negatively about, and he just got help all over his person. He gained an armor. He gained powerful attack, which is nice. He used to add focus. He used to add his fury, but powerful attack's a lot more beneficial, in my opinion. Banishing Ward, great way to prevent people from casting spells and getting rid of them. Purification's not as good as his old spell, but it also does get rid of Animi, so I can't complain. Rampager is absolutely insane, in my opinion. It's a domination for hordes, and wow, I've already used it to great effect in the one game that I've played him. And then Stranglehold, also a great spell for him to have for two fury. That's a great, range 10, pow 11, really solid. The biggest change to him, though, his feet. Holy Lord, can you do stuff with his feet. His feet used to be take D3 damage whenever you spend a fury or a focus point, or for beasts each time. So if they spent like two for an animus, they would only take 1d6. But for casters, it's each fury point they spend. Now it's d6. So not only, let's just go ahead and take it out of take it in a simple context. If you cast a 3-focus spell, you could possibly take 18 damage. You could possibly die for doing that. But not only that, I think I want to use it offensively. For example, when I'm ready to pounce on a warlock or put some damage onto a warlock, transfer. Do it. You'll take another d6 automatically. Making people, like really making a defensive kind of aura with him and making them overcommit and spending fury points. I think that attrition is going to be able to knock arms off jacks. It's going to be able to knock, aspects off beasts. It's going to be a big deal. Epic Doomshaper, one of my favorites from before, did change a little bit, but the one thing I want to mention is I think if there's any gripes I have about the warlocks, he's one of my two gripes is on his feet. I wish he just gave himself and beast +3 movement. It's only when you charge or slam or trample, I believe. I thought that was a little much because with +3 movement, you're usually getting the beast out of his control area. But if he had the +3 movement, he would be able to get that extra 3 to keep up. Moving right along, Grim. I love his new feat. It's like a mini TB, but for trolls, that's huge. But he did lose the ability to see through stealth, which I thought was kind of interesting because, like I said earlier, he has Marked for Death, which you can make people lose stealth, but you have to be within the stealth to cast that spell. Very interesting. A lot of people are loving on Borka. I think he's fun. Great feat. Giving everyone +2 inches of movement, and then models in the battle group.
Mosh pit is awful.
Can make power attacks without being forced and get an additional die. As Dave just said, mosh pit is awful.
I hit you, you're knocked down.
Yeah, it's definitely like a mosh pit, so I think it's cool. I think it's a good ability. You got to stay in his 10-inch control area. He's really aggressive, has to be up there, always putting himself at risk, but at the same time, really dishing out the damage. As far as beasts are concerned, before I make my list, before I choose my warlock, I put in an Axer because his rush ability is so useful to give speed or to give movement out to my troops, and reach +Thresher makes him a viable way for us to deal with infantry. At mat 6, yeah. Trolls always had a hard time dealing with infantry, and him having reach and Thresher is going to be helpful.
Now, his mat didn't go up. He was 6 before, wasn't he?
Correct, okay. Correct. Some people have been griping about the cost of the elementals or the fact that their rat is only 4. Their cost, I think, is okay. I think the rat could be 5. But I think they're all very useful. They all had abilities that they could spend a fury to gain a certain thing, whether it be fire, stationary on the winter troll, or corrosion from the slag troll. They gave them that all the time. That's a great that's a great buff. Plus the pyre troll got 2 pow and auto fire on the AoE. So very nice there. Impaler and Bouncer, pretty much the same. Shield Guard, of course, on the Bouncer is going to be a great benefit. And Bump was now increased to 3 inches, where before it was 2. So if you base the model and you had reach, you could still attack them. Now there's no way to be able to do so unless you're a 4-inch reach Mage Hunter Assassin with an additional attack, which they can't grant.
But excessive repel was too much on Blessing of Vengeance.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Because this is an Animus, and he doesn't just have it.
Okay.
And Blessing of Vengeance is a jerk.
Okay. He is. He's a jerk. I don't invite him to my parties anymore.
I don't like him either. As far as the heavies are concerned, actually, overall, real quick on the beasts, we have the most expensive, some of the most expensive beasts because we don't have access to 2 or 4 point beasts. Also, our lights, our heavies are also the highest point cost, being at 9 for our cheapest, while the other 3 factions all have 8 or lower options. So that makes it kind of interesting. It's kind of like, well, you got these 5 and 6 point lights, and you've got these 9, 10, 11 heavies. So it's not that they're always the most, but they certainly have like a little niche that I found interesting. But the Mauler was one of the few heavies that got the mat. Very much needed. Very great. Grab and Smash is great. He's amazing. Great model. A lot of people are down the Earthborn. They're saying, why bring him when you can bring the Mauler? I'll tell you why. Because Pathfinder's amazing. His new Animus grants Elemental Communion, which is +2 inches of movement while within 1 inch of rough terrain, +3 defense while within 1 inch of deep water, and +2 armor while within 1 inch of an obstacle or obstruction. Something like that's going to be on the board. You can take advantage of this. His ability to grant extra movement is nice. His ability to grant extra defense is even nicer. And the armor, I think, is even the best. His old Animus was a little weird with the double dipping, and I think this is a good way to do it. Plus, you don't have to have, like, if you put it on Mulg, he can run next to a building and have armor 21. And you don't have to have other models in base-to-base with him. You don't have to be under the Creelstone Aura to get up there. I think it's a good call. I also noticed that Troll Troops are just generally cheap. 4-6 for Creel Warriors, 4-6 for Fenblades. I'm a big fan of that. They're really great, and I guess we'll get into that a little more when we start talking about them a little more specifically. One unit I would like to talk about is the Thumper Crew. They slam, like the Commodore. They're range 14, pow 14, extendable up to 18 with a Fire Strike.
Dumb.
It's pretty good.
Dumb.
Rat 7?
Dumb.
At Rat 7.
Dumb.
It's not bad. Dave obviously thinks it's dumb, but, I mean, he's the one with the Isle of Sight faction, so I don't really want to talk about it.
My Isle of Sight doesn't knock you down, slam you, though.
There's sort of another general rule that we didn't talk about because it's not used very often, I guess, but when you have crews like this, usually the guys only need to be in base-to-base to give the rat bonus, and they can still make attacks.
Yeah.
It's not like a star action to give you the rat
bonus. I think there's a rule that says you can't be engaged to do it, though, right? Or was that Mark 1? That's Mark 1.
I'm not sure, yeah.
That's actually a really cool thing not to talk about War Machine, but in Cawdor with Cosmic Joe, if you give the field gun the boosted attack roll, so the field gun can knock stuff down, the guys then get boosted blunderbuss shots.
Yep.
That's really neat. But yeah, Thumper Crew is really cool. Champions changed a little bit, and I'm sure we'll get into a deep conversation about that later. And Long Riders kind of just took a big hit that they weren't necessary. One unit that changed a lot, and I actually used them to decent effect yesterday against Josh, was the
Long Riders took a big hit.
Yes, they Which lost. One? They lost an arm. They lost a POW. They lost 3 boxes, and
they gained. They gained a mat, and they no longer have a penalty to slam.
Okay,
how is that not offset your?
That doesn't offset it because slamming is not as useful as everyone says it is. Everyone's like, "Oh, you have the cav that slams. How often were you able to get that off?"
Because of the penalties that are gone now.
But we can negate the penalty with the fell collar. The mat,
and you can still make it even better with the fell collar.
Because you
listen. Slamming isn't that – it's not that good. I'd rather have the POW because they hit like a ton of bricks.
I think you're talking like a crazy person.
And also –
there's some faction bias leaking in there.
I don't think so because my biggest problem is they're just as good at killing or at living as Ulans are, but they're freaking trolls on bison.
Can you see yourself taking Horthal with them?
What? Yeah, but
– So you wouldn't – would you slam then?
It doesn't, it's not that follow up is nice, but I get to make a POW 12 attack. Like, that might not even kill the infantry that I'm trying to hit. They used to be POW 13s. I would rather not have the slam and had those abilities. We'll see how it pans out, but they're also rather expensive and
just like all the rest of Cav.
But they're not 10 points for ranged weapon masters, you know what I mean? And they're not speed 9, they're speed 7. I mean, I've got the slowest Cav, I've got, you know, the lowest defense Cav, and then armor 17. you know, you, I mean, you know, other people have decent armor comparably, and with the Cav most likely not being under the Creel Stone, if I'm bringing it even, it's, I mean, I think they got hit. And I think I'd rather just have the armor back and the mat back. That's just my opinion.
I think Perma Reach is good. I think Crit Knockdown on the Mount is good.
Yeah, they've had all of that.
Fantastic. I think that still makes it good. Their stat line, other than speed, is the same as better than Vengers, because Vengers don't have the higher mat.
Vengers can go up to arm 19 with one of them being hit.
I said base stat line.
Okay, well, that's an ability.
And you can slam, and they can't.
Yeah, but slamming is not that good on Cav. You think it is, but they really, what Cav's really great at is having a high mat, high power attack.
How about we agree to disagree, and you give them a couple games, and we'll come back to them.
That's a great idea.
What about these Rune Shapers?
I've given them a game, and they didn't perform as much as I'd like because they couldn't kill as well. Rune Shapers, like I was saying, are pretty sweet because they've got Pathfinder.
They got 5 wounds
each.
You have Tremor.
And they have Tremor, which is awesome. And Rockhammer went up to range 8. And also, they can't be knocked down, as we found out when Mold landed on top of them, and they did not die, nor get knocked down. So,
which is really cool with Tough.
Which is really cool
with Tough. I love doing that with my Temple Flame Guard. I would put Iron Seal on them and then pipe Tough on them.
Yep, absolutely.
And this is the exact same thing every turn. Now, granted, I had 12 guys, there's only 3. But still, that's cool.
It's still cool, yeah. I mean, I definitely get that experience with the Creel Warriors, because they can't be knocked down either. And also, they're tough and can get 4, 5, 6 tough on one turn. But the Rune Shapers, they're great. And they really give me a great way to deal with infantry once again, something that I had stated earlier we had had a problem with. Range 8, POW 14 AoEs, they're going to go a long way. The Bushwhackers are notable because they gained 4 range. Not many things gained range, and they gained 4. So that's pretty sweet.
Still rat 4, but they do have CRA.
They do have CRA.
Long gunners. Yeah, they're not bad. They don't have double tap, but do you think they're going to be fielded more now?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think the Burrowers will still be fielded or will be fielded?
I can see myself bringing them in for 4.
They're reasonable for their cost.
They're reasonable, and while AD did decrease, they can start tunneling and still move the 3 inches, whereas in Mark 1, when you tunnel, you couldn't move. So let's say I advanced deployed the Sergeant full. That would be 12 inches. This one would be 9 because it would be 6 plus the free 3-inch move. So it's a debatable distance, but for 4 points with POW 14s, they lost the +2 to hit when they come out, and the Fel-Caller can't Fel-Call them anymore because the Fel-Caller can only increase melee attack, Matt. But I think they have a place.
I think with the burrowing, though, or whatever, I think there's a good chance you can come up into people's back arcs, absolutely, giving you a +2.
That's still only a +6. I think their best role at this point is going to be like light killers or heavy arm solo killers.
Yeah, I think they're really good for killing light warjacks.
Absolutely. Or Cav,
yeah.
Yep. Sentry Stones.
Sure. But they're fun. I don't know. I think they lost a little bit, but I'm gonna try them out.
Now, am I right saying you only get to tunnel once, and that's if you choose to at the beginning of the game?
Yes, that is true. You can only be tunneling once, so it's not in order anymore.
You can't tunnel more than once?
If you tunnel, it means you start the game tunneling, and after you pop up, you can't re-tunnel.
Yeah, but that's okay, because when they pop up, you want them to be... Usually, at that point, you run them as annoyance.
I've played against a guy who's gone up and down with him a couple times throughout the game. It was actually
Mark 2. I don't know if that's how it is in Mark 1, though.
Mark 1.
It could be.
Yeah, Mark 1's in order.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
It was interesting.
So it's not like you can run these guys.
I've never had him be able to do that. I also usually bring him with Grissel and cast Calamity on the target and then Fel Call them, and then they pop up. It's like, oh, we're at 4, 6, 8, 10. Awesome. Rat 10, POW 16s. Bam! Not to get too in-depth, everything else looks good. The one model I want to focus on is the Chronicler. He may be the only model that I think could use a change for the worse. He's super annoying. He's way good. Hero's Tragedy is, I want to say, pretty ridiculous.
Is that the one where if you attack the model, you get knocked down?
If you destroy the model, you get knocked down.
That's pretty sick.
I was playing Creel Wars.
That's sacrosanct. I mean, Epic Creos has to upkeep that.
Yeah.
Does it knock you down?
Wow. Yeah. It's sacrosanct. It's really good.
It's perma sacrosanct within 8 inches of the stone.
Mm-hmm. It's the
storyteller.
You have to cast it. So like if it's the beginning of your turn, you want to do something, maybe like it happened to me yesterday where I was casting it every turn, but my order of operations forced me once to take a free strike and I have not gotten knocked down. But he is awesome. He's really good. That may be too powerful. I'm not sure yet. It's really great against light infantry. It's not as bad because you usually have a large amount of guys. But like I was going up against champions, I was like, "Here's a Creel warrior," and they kill him, and then they get knocked down. And I kept the champions in the same place the entire time. And then also it's really great to use with Freezer, the Winter Troll Animus, which will make them stationary. So what I can do is this. I can move them up, and you can kill one. You'll get knocked down. Next turn, I put Freezer on a guy and then put the Creel Warrior behind him. I move both of them up together, one to melee. You can't leave without taking the free strike. And if you do try to move around and kill him, you're going to be stationary. So you have to move backwards. So you have to take a free strike to not be stationary. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good ability. I like him a lot. And that's my wrap up of the trolls.
Minions, real quick. Is there any highlights? I love the new Totem Hunter.
I think he's very cool. I wouldn't say he's auto, but he's pretty close.
He's 3 points for advanced deployment, free jump, reach, prey, sprint, pathfinder, hunter.
Yeah, that's a nice little package there.
Feral Topless guys. Strength 14, 12 in the shield.
Something like that.
11.
11 in the shield. Yep.
He's real good. I like 14, him.
Speed 7. Yeah. Matt, is it 7 or 8?
I think Matt, it's 8.
Matt 8.
Yep.
That's really good. Badass. That's awesome. That's Matt 10, that's Matt on, the 10 on the prey.
You know, he'll get you.
He's a solo killer, I think.
And he has stealth still.
What really does it for me is sprint, because you can tag the solo at reach and then move 7 away and sometimes behind a forest and they can't even get you. Like, mm-hmm. if they're hanging out by forest, that's like the wrong
I've played
idea.
Him. I have charged, killed a guy, advanced through the walked, leaped, because you get actually further.
Yeah.
Killed a guy with the shield, killed another guy with the axe, finished off the prey, switched it, then walked behind a forest so that they couldn't see me, but I had 100, could charge mm-hmm. back through it the next turn.
Yeah, yep. Or walk and
leave. And
yeah.
it was really dumb. He is very cool, and I don't remember if I've said it yet on the podcast. I think I've said it locally, but I think he's so cool because Zoo's next faction, and he's the Iris.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's not necessarily a strong indication, but it would make a lot of sense. He's a very independent little package that you can just walk around, and you don't need to support him in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
He's great. I mean, before, as a Legion player, I had Gudrun, the Googe. As kind of like a AD helper.
Yeah.
And now I could use this guy. Like, I'd have Striders, the Googe, and the Hunter.
Yeah.
TH, my buddy TH.
I call him the Predator.
The Predator?
Because right. He looks like the Predator.
That's true.
Okay. How about Glover's Nemesis?
Sure.
Okay. So Glover's Nemesis, the Googe, and the Striders, all AD, and as a decent force. Like, yeah. That's not bad.
I still think Alton Ashley is worth 3 points.
He is. Yeah, he costs.
I think he really edges on it. I think he's one of those borderline cases.
I think his ability makes him the heiress of hordes, and I think that requires him to be 3 points.
The only difference is, in my mind, you can spend a point of fury to at least get back the aspect. Mm-hmm. But it's still a third of life.
I was just
going
to say, it's
huge.
Still forcing you to spend.
If you're going
to
use it offensively to kill a third of the beast so you can finish it off, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I like Pharaoh Brigands.
I think they're interesting for their points.
But they're shrouded. Point? They get camo and Pathfinder, and their def's 12, so they go up to 14. They can still dig in, and they have arm 15. That's pretty sweet.
I'd like to bring something up that's pretty damn cool. The Legion now has two open fists.
Yep.
Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is really – and he kept his gore. I mean, Brian has 3 attacks now.
I can say everybody
Brian,
still loves R&B.
R&B are 11 points.
They're cheaper than 11 points, aren't they?
No, Rorschach and Brian are 11.
Okay. Never mind. I saw something else.
I think the Feral Geist is still really good, too.
He's great. Yeah, no, I think that's the fix for the Feral Geist.
R&B still have, like, diversionary tactics.
Yeah, I just wanted to say they also work for Circle.
Yeah. They
ate their share of bacon, and now they're friends.
Everyone works for trolls. Doesn't matter. Dude, Feral Geist, that's the fix. I am convinced that they got it right this time.
Just making enemies?
Making only enemies, and you can activate him if he hasn't already activated. I think that's the fix that they needed. If you are going to move your model within inches of the Feral Geist and allow them to kill it, that's, like, just either kill a Feral Geist, which, A, there's so much more stuff to kill in Corporeal, so it's not going to be too powerful. It's still 2 points. It's not 1 point like the Machine Wraith. I think that's a great balance. I think they got it right. That's my opinion.
I want to play it some more. You know, it used to be 10. Mm-hmm. It used to have some uses on your own stuff. I think it's going to – I don't think it's bad, but I really want to – because we haven't seen it a lot locally because people stopped using it.
Yeah.
I want to see it in this incarnation.
No, yeah. I mean, it may not be the best, but I can't imagine a fix that doesn't make it broken or shit. And I think this is the – I think it's the right move. Speaking of crap, I think people are going to get down on the Swamp Garabella's crew. They used to be ridiculous. Now they got to be in their own cloud. They're going to be kind of easy to kill. I don't know. They're a point, though.
They are.
Trolls
awesome
and Score
filler,
don't
though.
Even have a point.
They're a good
model.
Filler.
So you've got your filler model. And, you know, some dudes you will want it. Sometimes you will want it.
And it's an order.
It's an order.
I'm going to be harping on people.
and Gudrun is
wait till you catch somebody in Masters.
Although the thing
I'm kind of surprised they didn't get Prowl. I think that might be good feedback for them.
I think so too. Yeah.
I think giving them Prowl. I mean, obviously this right now is not on playing them as much with it to see it. I have fielded them a couple times, but I would like to see them with Stealth in their Cloud. I think that would actually be. I mean,
they are still AOE. 17.
Sure.
Yeah, but just a little bit more.
You're right. I buy it. I buy it for a dollar.
I mean, you could still CRA a Def 17, but really, you can't long gunner them if they have stealth.
Yeah.
Now, granted, if you want to spend 20 long gunners to shoot them,
you may want to, though. You never know. Maybe hiding a big Thag Rush behind there.
Yeah.
But as far as their speed 6, like base, and you can still run them.
Someone who took a big hit, in my opinion, was Victor Pendrake. Beast lore is boosted attack rolls.
He needed it.
Yeah, the damage needed to go away.
Plus, he lost 3 boxes. The Bola now knocks down, which is not as good because you can just stand it up. It's the same thing with Grimm's snare gun now. Grimm's snare gun only A, it only works on beasts, B, it just knocks you down. So it's like, oh, Grimm's within 8 inches if you don't far strike. Oh, I knock you down. Oh, I shake it off and I kill you.
Isn't that good though? Because with the whole changes to frenzy now, and
I would rather just be able to keep them 2 inches from a point, but yeah, I mean, it's not bad. But it's certainly risky for Grimm to be that close and be able to.
Oh, absolutely.
Grimm's going to rely on his rifle more.
Yeah.
I actually have played Grimm a couple times in like some like games where I was playing other people's factions. And whenever I played him, he was casting spells and net gunning things. The rifle didn't even come into play until like the very end.
Mm-hmm. Because the rifle's like, the best.
Your beast, I don't care. I don't have to kill your beast. It's not going to make it in the combat.
Well, that's mm-hmm. what you do is you just first turn, you move up and you rifle the Seneschal from 17 inches away and it dies. And then the second turn, you kill the other one. That's how the rifle works. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba.
So overall, obviously there's a lot of more stuff that changed we didn't get into. I mean, we're already pushing along. I'd say we did a lot of complaint up front. I don't think we're happy with how beasts changed in general. But on the model, you know, on the model-by-model basis.
Pretty happy.
Yeah. So what do you guys have any closing thoughts?
Play games.
Play some games. I'm so excited to...
And really think through your feedback and try... I know it's hard. I do it sometimes. You got to try to realize if you think something is too good, there's a chance that it could be. You know, if you want this change, think about how it will impact your faction. Don't let that faction bias rule your thought process.
So I'm saying about the Chronicler, maybe too good.
All right.
Anybody have any other advice?
No advice. I have something.
Don't let DC yell at you because he already yelled at me.
Did he really?
Yeah, well, on the game sales forums. Because I said that we need to go out there and make changes. Right. Yeah, no, I know.
Well, you know, it's internet.
It's a misunderstanding, yeah. You guys are saying the same thing but disagreeing with each other about it. The sky's blue. No, the sky's blue.
It's sapphire.
All right, are you gonna close us up with some words of wisdom?
I was just going to say I'm incredibly hungry because I haven't really eaten today, so I want to go home and eat.
Oh, that's not...
That's not constructive at all. Are you going
to eat that? Guys, let's go ahead and talk about all the models.
Let's do it.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
I can't believe Mold kept. Are you going to eat that?
How do you like Goad on both Doom Troopers?
It's good. I used it when the Bronzeback admonitioned away from me after I rampaged it forward. And I was like, crap. Oh, but I completed my charge because the Brute's there. Killed the Brute with Mold, and then it moved up and killed half the Bronzeback.
I've got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about the factions coming up.
Sure.
I don't know if we're going to do 2 per episode or if we're going to do 1 and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If people have like specific combos they might want to see.
Send us an email or post it up on the forum.
Hey, how does Vale do if she doesn't take winged beasts?
Absolutely.
She probably sucks.
And we're playing a lot.
I mean, everybody's got like they're going to play their own games locally, but mm-hmm.
yeah, absolutely. And also, if you you know, if you have something that you want just said, maybe something that people don't realize, or you know, maybe a positive thing about a model everyone's griping about, or you know, something like that, go ahead and send that in too, because that way we can spread the word.
Oh, and, oh, for what's worth, yes, I'm griping about the Seraph, but I'm happy he got nerfed. I just thought it was too hard. So there.
There's one thing we need to say before we go. Yeah. Jason, how's that Iron Agenda Facebook page going?
Ooh, good call.
It's up.
Is it up?
Yeah.
Okay, that's so what I meant to say.
I'll become a fan today.
I wanted to clarify about our contest. I know that I only recently got on Facebook, and if I wasn't before and that was a contest, I would just not enter and be left out. So if you instead wanted to send us an email with the creative way to get the 50 tickets – in one try at TumbleCon, basically be funny. Whatever.
There you go.
And it's not, this isn't a contest. We'll do random drawings.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. But yeah, the Facebook page is up. I heard them to search it.
Actually, it was like almost a week ago. I searched and it wasn't there. So okay. I'll have to check again.
Went up Wednesday night.
Send me a link and I will make sure we link it in the show.
There you go.
And on the website.
Do it.
Ship it.
Ship it.
Oh my god.
I'll see you guys.
See you guys.
Bye, buddy.
Out of here.
Oh, wait. Go to the Warball page. To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.